Albert Pike joined the Fraternal Independent Order of Odd Fellows in 1840. By 1859, he was elected Sovereign Grand Commander of the Scottish Rite's Southern Jurisdiction and remained Sovereign Grand Commander for the rest of his life. He was definitely aware of Zionism, and if this Illuminati plan is true, then his use of the word Nazi is plausible. Either way, the letter is worth a read, and the closer we get to the end game, the more accurate this letter appears to be.
Albert Pike served as a brigadier general in the Confederate Army. Following the war, Pike was jailed for treason. He was quickly pardoned by a fellow Freemason, President Andrew Johnson. Among eventually becoming a 33-degree Mason and a top leader of the Ku Klux Klan, Pike was also believed to be a Luciferian. He claimed he was able to summon Lucifer at will as the Grand Master of the Order of the Palladium. Palladism, or traditional Satanism, an ancient Luciferian cult, was then introduced to the inner circle of the Masonic lodges. This influence has flourished into modern-day Freemasonry in the super rites of the upper degrees. Industry, entertainment, the CIA, Congress, and our military leaders are inundated with Freemasonic Palladism, or a Luciferian New World Order. What follows are the chilling predictions, or better yet, instructions of Albert Pike's three world wars, funded in great part by the House of Rothschild. From a letter that he wrote to 33-degree Italian Illuminati head and mafia founder Giuseppe Mazzini, dated August 15, 1871. The First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the Tsars in Russia and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism. The divergences caused by the agenteurs of the Illuminati between the British and Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. At the end of the war, communism will be built and used in order to destroy the other governments, in order to weaken the religions. The Second World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences between the fascists and the political Zionists. This war must be brought about so that Nazism is destroyed and that the political Zionism be strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel in Palestine. During the Second World War, international communism must become strong enough in order to balance Christendom, which would be then restrained and held in check until the time when we would need it for the final social cataclysm. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agenteur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the State of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery and of the most bloody turmoil. Then, everywhere, the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. A bizarre letter indeed. And a red flag may have gone off when you heard the term Nazism, but the term Nazism was known to those in the Illuminati at that time. Will we allow this madness to unfurl unabated, or will we put a halt to it before it's too late? John Baum, Infowars.com.
Please remember. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got big breaking news. Confirmation hearings, LA fires, it's all coming up.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at the alexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at the alexjonesstore.com.
And 53 minutes until the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We do have a lot of political news. You had 6 confirmation hearings going on today. The one that got the most attention was the Attorney General Pam Bondi confirmation hearing. But we'll tell you all about that coming up here, as well as the other confirmation hearings. And then some other news from the Trump camp. And the final moments, the final blows, the final headlines from the Biden administration making some waves today. Biden had a brief press conference today dealing with the latest news of a hostage deal, a ceasefire deal. We'll see if this one actually lasts. But then he made some other announcements today as well that we're going to be looking at. The LA fire story is getting more and more interesting as the days go on and as the fires go on. And it's becoming clear now. Everybody's willing to report it now. It was quite obvious to us at the beginning of this week and even last week that this was going to be, as far as property was concerned, the most damaging fire in LA history and the most expensive as far as costs are concerned. And so the numbers, the estimates are starting to come in, and it is confirming exactly what we feared, as the death counts are going up. But you have a lot of locals, you have a lot of members of the media trying to report on this and figure out what's going on. People are digging into all the different actions, or lack thereof, that were taken by Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, the chief of water policy, everything else. And again, this is either intentional incompetence or criminal negligence, a combination of both. Every decision they made leading up to the wildfires, every decision they made was the exact opposite of what they should have done. Every decision they made is the decision you would make if you wanted the city to burn to the ground. Now people are looking at the response and saying, where was it? Where was the response? And so you've got firefighters coming out. You've got former firefighters coming out. You've got other fire chiefs coming out and asking these questions. Something went horribly wrong in the response. So you had the buildup that was bad, and then you had the response that was bad. Now, we're going to have a guest coming on today to talk about that, who's a local who lives in the area. But this is just some of the latest. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass faces mounting backlash over wildfire response. Oh, yeah, really, you don't say. She was in Africa while it was going on. She made policy decisions to cut the fire department She helped bring in the culture of diversity, equity, and inclusion when it came to fighting fires, not about actually putting out fires or fire prevention. Absolutely. And if she's not going to resign, her time as mayor is up. Whenever the next election is, she'll be done. She probably wouldn't even run again because it would be such an embarrassing defeat. But there will likely be steps taken to have her removed if she won't do it willingly before we even get to that time. This is an embarrassment. She's been an embarrassment. And she goes around during these press conferences now smiling like a Joker clown demon while they're talking about how families have lost everything. And you have the LA Times owner who came out, and we played the clip yesterday, and basically said, you know, we basically just endorsed her because she's a woman. I don't know. She might be gay, too. So, you know, that'd be a little feather in her cap, too. That's your resume. Oh, I'm a woman. I'm black. I'm gay. Okay, you're the mayor. And the owner of the LA Times comes out and says, yeah, you know what? We made a mistake. We endorsed her because she was a black woman, and we thought, you know, that's what it's all about. And now we figure out actually competence is what matters. We should have gone with Rick Caruso. We should have gone with the guy who's competent and actually knows what he's doing and knows what he's talking about. Not this fool, Karen Bass. So it took a whole city to burn to the ground for them to realize competence matters. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't just endorse or vote or support based off identity politics. It took a whole city to burn down for them to get that. But, okay, that's what it takes. You finally get it. So the early estimates are coming in. L.A. fires could cost more than $250 billion. The fires have burned through so far more than 40,000 acres. More than 12,000 structures have been damaged or destroyed, and they're saying the damages could cost at least $250 billion. But there are still fires that are ongoing, and we're learning more and more about the arson aspect of this. Two new arson arrests in separate incidents, and these things just keep popping up. It seems coordinated, but it is definitely due to arson, some of these fires. It is definitely due to just people living in the woods, homeless living in the woods, bums, deranged people starting fires. And so they can sit here and talk about climate change all day long. It had nothing to do with this. And by the way, that's exactly what they're doing. Every time a Democrat has gone and done a media appearance to talk about this, they always blame climate change. You just had Bernie Sanders basically say this is what the whole country will look like if we don't address climate change. Bernie, climate change had nothing to do with this. Political climate change, I guess you could say. Democrats running California, that's your climate change. It's a political climate change. It has nothing to do with the weather other than the wind setting it up for a bad situation that the Democrats put there probably intentionally. So that's what they're doing. Now, think about this for a second, because they have a long history. The Democrats and the liberal progressive left have a long history of their climate change agenda and their climate change rhetoric. Long history. This is very well documented, and they've done propaganda pieces for decades. In the 70s, it was global freezing. And you can pull up the different public address statements they had, the different propaganda pieces they had, the different news stories they published, the famous one of Spock from Star Trek. You're speaking very seriously about global freezing and how the planet will freeze if we don't stop this because of human behavior. And they put him in the middle of a frigid city with snow on the ground. It's like, oh, wow, very real. Yeah. So in the 70s, it was global freezing. Then in the 80s, it was acid rain. Climate change, acid rain will rain down upon us. Then in the 90s, it was global warming, global warming, global warming. And then really since then, it's been rebranded to climate change, which is just kind of all-encompassing at this point. So now it's, well, if it's cold, it's man-made climate change. If it's hot, it's man-made climate change. If there's snow, it's man-made climate change. If there's a hurricane, it's man-made climate change. If it's anything, a flood, a fire, everything is now man-made climate change, as if this stuff never existed before. Of course, it did, and it was much worse. As far as damage, death tolls, everything, destruction from weather is actually better now than it ever has been in recorded history, and that's mostly due to technological advancements and communications and architecture and response times and everything else. But see, they've been wrong about every single prediction they've made. Maybe the best example would be Al Gore. I believe it was the year 2000. What was the name of the documentary? The Uncomfortable Truth, I think, or The Undeniable Truth. And Al Gore does like a two-hour presentation, turns it into a documentary, and he wants you to see how serious he is. He gets in one of those inconvenient truth. Thank you, guys. He gets in one of those raised platforms so that you can see this is how bad global warming is going to be. And he lifts himself off the stage and he shows these bar graphs. And oh, my gosh. Oh, he had to get on a raised platform to do this. He had to be lifted up. Oh. And they forced kids to watch these in the schools so that you would be scared as a kid, indoctrinated into this, propagandized by it. They showed you all this extreme weather, floods and icebergs and fires and hurricanes and this global, man-made global warming, man-made. Oh, my gosh, I'm a poor little kid. The weather's going to kill me. Look, Al Gore is on a raised platform. Force your kids to watch it, force you to watch it, told you how real it was. And that's probably the easiest place to go to just show how wrong everything they predicted was. I mean, these people should be embarrassed. Al Gore should be embarrassed. They put up signs at the glacier park that says all these glaciers will be melted in the year 2020. Well, it's the year 2025 and none of them are melted. They're still there, expanding in some cases. And they want you, they want us, they want the planet, they want the country. They want to gamble the entire future on this. They want to bet the entire future on man-made climate change, global warming, the carbon taxes, net zero, all of that. They want to bet the entire future on this, and they haven't been right about it once. They want to gamble the entire future of the planet on something they have not been right about one time. They should never be taken seriously. They should be scorned and shamed. And the fact that we still have to come here and deal with it proves that it is, in fact, just an agenda to control you with this false narrative, to control your movements, your transactions, and your freedoms in the name of man-made climate change. You're destroying our habitat. You're destroying our environment. All lies. All lies. And even Musk, who comes out and addresses this from kind of like a more neutral standpoint, says, hey, even if you want to talk about man-made climate change, this stuff goes on for millions of years. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen in 100 years. It's not going to happen in 1,000 years. Which, I mean, that'd be like the real left response. That'd be like the real progressive response would say, yeah. I mean, real environmentalists would say, yeah, maybe there's a man-made climate change aspect to our presence here, but it's, you know, 1,000 years out from being felt, and there's 100,000 other things that we're doing that are more impactful now, spraying the planet with whatever they spray in the sky, the lithium, the barium, the aluminum, spraying the plants with all the pesticides and the glyphosates and putting the GMOs everywhere, putting the fluoride into the water, the microplastics. I mean, there's real stuff going on. They don't that impacts you now. You can go get a toxicology report. You'll find microplastics. You'll find glyphosates. You'll find all this stuff, BPA. That's stuff that's happening now that infects our environment. But But nobody talks about that. Nobody makes a big fuss out of that. Now, finally, RFK Jr., maybe. No, it's man-made climate change, this non-existent thing they want to put you in fear of and then steal your future and bet the entire future on it, even though they've gotten every bet wrong to this point. If you see a friend who's a gambling addict, gambles on sports, never had a winning bet, and comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to bet on these guys. You should bet your life savings on it. Bet your house on it. Are you going to take that bet? You're going to make that bet? No, you're going to say, you've gotten every bet wrong. You're broke. You're a gambling addict. And now they're saying more Santa Ana winds are coming in. So the arsonists are, you know, out there burning things. You've got the homeless bums and the deranged in the woods starting fires. L.A. fire risk high as extreme red flag warning returns today. So it's hopefully not going to be like this, but finally getting it under control, and then it gets worse. Now, Hunter Biden is claiming, he's making a, probably going to claim this, Hunter Biden artwork worth millions of dollars destroyed in L.A. fires. Yeah, he's going to claim, probably, that they're worth millions of dollars in that mansion that burned down that I believe he was renting and owed money on. But no, the story here is not climate change, man-made climate change. The story here is Democrat policy and ideology, and maybe at worst, that would be at best. At best, the LA wildfires are a result of Democrat policy and ideology, which we've documented 10 times over on this show. The policies with water, the policies with clearing the forests, the policies with fire breaks, everything. The ideologies of putting identity politics ahead of competence and experience. Best case scenario, that's what caused these wildfires. Best case. Worst case, which is where a lot of people are leaning now, worst case is that the Democrats, the California Democrats and Los Angeles, wanted this to happen and set it up perfectly to happen and stood down so that it would happen. But that's your scale. Best case, policy and ideology caused this. Worst case, they wanted the city to burn down so they could rebuild a smart city, rebuild for the 2028 Olympics coming up. But that's your scale of what really happened with the LA wildfires. And there's other reports coming out. And again, these things are everywhere. I'm talking to some other locals and some other reporters trying to back this up. But it looks like there's a stand down still ongoing in the state of California. And firefighters are afraid to talk about this because it's so bad. But the reports are that firefighters are being told not to go in. And there's reports that Newsom is trying to stop Elon Musk from going in there with the Starlink connection for communications and with the Tesla trucks to help get people where they need to go. This stuff is shocking, but I'm waiting to get it confirmed with other locals and other reporters that are investigating this. It's criminal. Gavin Newsom is a criminal for what he's done. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass is a criminal for what she's done. These are criminals. Resigning should be the least of their concerns. Criminal charges should be what they're really concerned about. And they always get away with it, don't they? They always get away with it. And Newsom plans to run for president in 2028. He's the Democrat frontrunner. But I guess that's what it takes to be the Democrat nominee these days. The bigger the crook you are, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Gavin Newsom, the bigger the crook you are, the more damage done that you've gotten away with, that's who the Democrats want. They want to see that you're able to go in there and commit crimes and destroy things and cover it up and still walk out to the public and say, I'm great. Vote for me. They're into that. So it will be Newsom. But nothing like a quick little cartoon to sum it all up here in clip 8.
How could anyone say we're responsible for the amount of damage the LA fires cause? It's like they think we haven't been doing our jobs or something.
Agree, Gavin. It's like everyone thinks we've been wasting time. Do you want any of these African meats?
I just don't understand where we went wrong. I cut the fire prevention budget by $100 million. I rerouted all the natural water sources to the ocean. I didn't maintain the emergency water reservoirs. How am I responsible? I'm doing my job.
Some people are just hard to please, Gavin. I spent $17.5 million firefighting dollars on the homeless and never even got a thank you.
Oh, I know. I'll go out and take photos of me looking at the debris so I can show Californians that I'm doing my job. And then I'll go on a media run to make it look more like I'm doing my job.
Wow, what a great plan. And maybe I can set up a resource to help the victims. Like it'll be online at URL or in person at location accessible by route.
All I need is a reporter who's an expert at looking good. Gavin, does this outfit make me look fat? The worst thing imaginable is anyone thinking I'm fat.
It doesn't make you look fat.
Do you think it makes me look ripped or hot?
No, you look good.
Just good? That's what you think of me?
Oh, I know who to ask.
I sold out years ago and I'm a coward.
Steven, it's Gavin. Will you help me avoid taking accountability for the fires?
I sold out years ago and I'm a coward.
What do you mean you're busy?
I sold out years ago and I'm a coward.
It's not my fault. I'm doing my job.
From the Al Barry show, he does these political cartoons. Well done with that. It'd be a lot more funnier if it wasn't so devastating. But you can follow him on Instagram for more of his work. That's where we got that. Now, we got one more thing from Newsom here, and then we're going to go to the Capitol to look at this confirmation process happening today. Listen to what Newsom admits about the homeless epidemic in California, clip 9.
How did California get so much homelessness?
I mean, because of our own policies and neglect. We put up our feet. We rested on our laurels.
How did California get so much homelessness?
I mean, because of our own policies and neglect. We put up our...
Oh, there you go. Feet. Now, when is he going to answer it? How did Los Angeles burn down in a fire? Because of our own policies and our own ideologies and our own neglect. Ah, bingo. Bingo. All right, we're going to go to the Capitol and take a look at what's going on with these confirmation hearings. Before we do that in the next segment, though, we got another announcement. Yesterday, we announced another product at thealexjonesstore.com, the beautiful knife that I have sitting right over here. I'll show it off again today. Today, we have another new product at thealexjonesstore.com. That's Trump Battle for the Republic 2024 silver coin. It's got Donald Trump in the legendary pose with the fist in the air when he says fight, fight, fight. It has fight, fight, fight on the coin as well. Donald Trump, 47th president of the United States, with the engraved signature on it right there. The inauguration date, January 20th, 2025. Get this collectible today at thealexjonesstore.com while supplies last. Another InfoWars Trump collectible available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. And don't forget while you're over there to take advantage of the other sales and go over to the VIP section, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP, to learn all about the benefits of becoming a VIP member, like monthly store credits, advanced warning of sales, and new giveaways. It's all happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now. And we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
I'm a humble person, and I want to say that I'm just a man. But I'm not just a man. Just like you. No matter what color you are, whether you're a man or a woman, you were made by the creator of the universe, who had a plan for you, who has a destiny for you. That's why the system hates you and fears you, and that's why they hate me. It's because the spirit I carry is one of justice and truth and courage and honor and will and love. My friends, the enemy's coming after me, not because I'm a loser, but because I'm a winner. They're coming after you, not because you're a bad person, because you're a good person, because you love God and God loves you. And so I signed up for this. I signed up for this fight. And I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer. But I can't fight this fight without you. And that's why I want you always to remember that I appreciate you and I thank you, because InfoWars is your fight. InfoWars is your baby. It's the thing you built. We did this together. So God bless you all. Let's keep fighting.
For listeners and viewers that have gone to the AlexJonesStore.com and gotten Ultimate CMOS, which is the ultimate superfood, chock full of organic iodine and all these key vitamins and minerals, and the way God has the Irish CMOS grow, the way it all fuses together, just has incredible effects. It's right up there with hemp for just being a over-the-top superfood. Now, I've been on it for now 4 or 5 months, and the clarity, the focus, my skin, my energy, the weight loss is insane. And so, Ultimate CMOS is available at TheAlexShowStore.com. And if you love that product, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to want two of the new gummy products that are in. Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Iron and Vitamin C. Both of these powerful gummy products are available right now with a big bottle jammed right at the top with these babies. Both of these amazing formulas are now available discounted at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for keeping us on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidants, and immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The show that digs deeper than the rest. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
I want to go to the Capitol now and tell you what's going on with these confirmation hearings. It was a busy day today. You had Pam Bondi, Attorney General nominee. You had Chris Wright, Secretary of Energy. Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. John Ratcliffe, CIA Director. Sean Duffy, Secretary of Transportation. And Russ Vaught, Director of Office of Management and Budget, nominee confirmation hearings, all happening today. For whatever reason, maybe because it just happened to start first, the Pam Bondi hearing got most of the attention. And I've got some of these highlights for you today. As things got a little interesting with some of her responses, it's going to be an interesting. It's going to be interesting to see Pam Bondi as Attorney General should she get confirmed. I'm assuming she will. Some mixed feelings about this today. Let's start. I think she does excellent on this response when she's asked about the 2020 election results in clip 3.
Are you prepared to say today under oath without reservation that Donald Trump lost the presidential contest to Joe Biden in 2020?
Ranking Member Durbin, President Biden is the President of the United States. He was duly sworn in, and he is the President of the United States. There was a peaceful transition of power. President Trump left office and was overwhelmingly elected in 2024.
Do you have any doubts that Joe Biden had the majority of votes, electoral votes, necessary to be elected president in 2020?
You know, Senator, all I can tell you as a prosecutor is from my firsthand experience. And I accept the results. I accept, of course, that Joe Biden is president of the United States. But what I can tell you is what I saw firsthand when I went to Pennsylvania as an advocate for the campaign. I was an advocate for the campaign, and I was on the ground in Pennsylvania, and I saw many things there. But do I accept the results? Of course I do. Do I agree with what happened? And I saw so much. You know, no one from either side of the aisle should want there to be any issues with election integrity in our country. We should all want our elections to be free and fair and the rules and the laws to be followed.
I think that question deserved a yes or no. And I think the length of your answer is an indication that you weren't prepared to answer yes.
Yeah, they hated that response. That was some of the good today from Pam Bondi. You know, he mentions the preparation, and I kind of respect it to a certain degree, to each their own as far as preparedness. I'm not sure she did much prep for today's hearing, to be honest, which is, you could say that's kind of a good thing, where it's like you're just so confident, you know what you're saying, you're not going in afraid. So what prep work? My life is prep work, but there were times where she probably should have had a more scripted or planned response to questions that she knew was coming that she didn't. I would say that was a good. So that was kind of the good. We'll take the good with the bad. Here's a bad. Lindsey Graham bringing up FISA here in clip six.
Do you support reauthorizing FISA in 2025?
Senator, I believe 702 is up in 2026.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I believe 26. It's 2026, and we will closely be looking at that. FISA is a very important
tool. Do you agree that the 702 provides important intel gathering capability to protect our nation?
Extremely important.
Okay. So, Pam, you're about to step into a job that's one of the
bad.
Most important jobs in any democracy.
That's the bad right there. Massive FISA abuse, massive warrantless spying. The new practices and procedures basically allows it to spy on everybody within 5 degrees of separation. So they'll just go from one person and jump to 5 degrees of separation, and they'll say with this FISA bill that you can spy on them legally. It's all illegal. It's all unconstitutional. That was the bad. That was the bad from today. Total abuse of FISA, totally unconstitutional. That's bad. There was more on that from John Cornyn here in clip 22.
I think there's a lot of misinformation with regard to how Section 702 works. I'm happen to be one of the members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. We read that product on a regular basis, and it is not used to spy on American people. I think what's fundamentally missing is a lack of trust in the intelligence community, including the FBI, which I'm hoping you and Mr. Patel can restore. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's not used to spy on Americans. That's exactly what it's used for. Otherwise, why would you need it? Because Americans have a right to privacy. Americans have a right to warrantless searches and seizures. They just claim that the FISA bill overwhelms that, which is not true, which is unconstitutional. So that is just inherently wrong. This is a big debate. We had it when they renewed the FISA bill a year ago. And we're going to have it again now after these things were said, these lies were told at this confirmation hearing. One name that's being brought up is Tulsi Gabbard, because in the past she has supported FISA. And so a lot of people are bringing her name up saying, you know, Gabbard's wrong on this too. I will let you know Gabbard is likely to make a public statement on this by the end of the week. And she will change her stance on FISA. And she will be issuing, I'm guessing, a pretty detailed statement on where she lands on FISA abuse today. So be on the lookout for that. All right. You know, Mazie Hirono, she is something. And she should run for president, I think. I mean, this is the woman. This woman is the epitome of the Democrat Party. She is the essence of modern day feminism and liberalism. She is a genius. This is a true genius. You are witnessing a spectacle of human excellence in Mazie Hirono. She was at it again today here in clip 5.
During the election, during the campaign, first, are the felons convicted of breaking into the Capitol on January 6th hostages or patriots? I'm quoting Trump. As President-elect Trump has said repeatedly, do you agree with his characterization of the felons that I referred to?
I am not familiar with that statement, Senator.
I just familiarized you with that statement. Do you agree with that statement?
I'm not familiar with it, Senator.
No answer. He has also said illegal immigration is poisoning the blood of our nation. He said that in December 2023. Do you agree with that statement?
Senator, I am not familiar with that statement, but what I can tell you is I went to the border a few months ago. I went to Yuma, Arizona, and what I saw at that border was horrific, Senator. It was horrific.
Ms. Bondi,
I went to a rape crisis center.
That is not my question.
I went to a rape crisis center. I'm not familiar with the statement, but I went to a rape crisis center. I met with Border Patrol agents. I'm sure you've been to the border as well.
I want to get to my next question. So.
Beautiful. Now, that was excellent. That was excellent. Don't let them pin you down. Don't let them. Don't make them force you to respond to whatever it is they're wanting you to respond to. Pivot and bring the conversation where you want it to go. Excellent by Bondi there. And it just shows, and again, maybe she was prepared for that, but she probably didn't prepare to be asked that question. So you can say that's good, it's bad. But that's exactly, I'm not familiar with that statement. Yeah, because it shouldn't even come up. And there's no context to the statement. And they do that intentionally so they can get a headline and make the same things they've been making in the headlines for years now. Oh, Trump's a felon. Trump supports felon. Trump tried to overthrow an election. Trump's racist. Trump's xenophobic. So you just say, oh, not familiar, and force them to either provide the context or move on to the next question. So that was, I would say, more of the good from Bondi. And then this one is perhaps open for interpretation. Blanket pardons, case-by-case basis. Here's what Bondi says in clip 7.
And do you believe that the January 6 rioters who've been convicted of violent assaults on police officers should be pardoned?
Senator, if confirmed as Attorney General of the United States, the pardons, of course, fall under the president. But if asked to look at those cases, I will look at each case and advise on a case-by-case basis, just as I did my entire career as a prosecutor.
Now, again, that's one of those questions where I'm thinking she had to know that question was coming. You'd think she'd have more of an answer ready to go from the holster there, and it would appear she didn't. So you can say it's good, it's bad. I could take it either way as well. Even the response is open for interpretation. But the one thing that does concern me here is, because we get a little bit of a better idea, I think, of what involvement she does or doesn't have. I think she's being honest when she says that she hasn't looked at the cases and nobody has asked her to. I think she's probably being honest there. That concerns me a little bit. That concerns me a little bit. And I could understand, I suppose, if you're thinking, I guess there's no guarantee I'm going to get confirmed, so why spend all this time going into these cases if I don't even get the job? Okay. But no, it does concern me, because if that's the approach that this administration is going to take, which right now, the betting odds would be that is going to be the approach. It's going to be case by case. You've heard it from the vice president. You just heard it from the nominee for attorney general. And I've been warning you about this from my sources that was the battle. The fact that you haven't already been digging into that actually angers me. And again, I understand from her perspective why she wouldn't do it. And I guess it doesn't all fall on her anyway, because Trump should probably be the one delegating these duties when it comes to pardons. But this tells me we're not going to get swift pardons. If her response is any indication of where we're at as far as the pardons are concerned, then we got a problem, folks. We got a big problem. Because if you are going to do case by case, then these cases should have been being reviewed for the last 2 months. And there should have been cases that they already know about that they're already ready to go with the pardon. But really, these cases should have been being reviewed for the last 2 months. And based off of that response, I'd say nobody's done it. And that really upsets me. Now, for me, a pardon is mostly ineffectual. I've already done my time. I've already just recently gotten off probation. So it would be more ceremonious for me. It would mean a lot to me to get that, even if just for ceremonious purposes, it would mean something to me. But no, what's more important are the men and women rotting in jail cells because of this, this entrapment scheme, this false flag event, all the lies and propaganda that led up to it, the stand down of Pelosi and Bowser, of the National Guard, of the D.C. police. This is a big issue. Political prisoners is a serious issue, and we shouldn't take it lightly. When the Democrats have political prisoners, people that put it all on the line for Donald Trump, and we don't have a plan to get them out day one, no, that's a problem. That's a big problem to me. Huge, I would say. We'll see how it all strategically plays out, but what are we prioritizing here? Are we prioritizing getting friendly with Mark Zuckerberg? Or are we prioritizing freeing the innocent men and women, many of them veterans, from their political imprisonment? What are we prioritizing here? And why don't we have this ready to go day one or week one? So I'm not a little disheartened. I'm a lot disheartened from that response. Now, she might not know. She claims she doesn't know, so maybe there are things going on that Trump is handling with other lawyers that she just doesn't know about. But I'm extremely disheartened and concerned that the political prisoners of the Democrats are going to be sitting in jails while Trump is president for weeks or months. And that is heartbreaking. That's bad. That is just bad. There's no other way to put it. Now, a little comic relief. As these hearings are ongoing, if there's anything else significant that comes of it, we'll bring you the clips. But a little comic relief from DeFrenzer Memes, one of the greats. Adam Schiff, he felt like sticking his neck out there today for what he believes in clip four.
Will it be your advice to the president? No, Mr. President, I need to go over them on a case-by-case basis. Do not issue blanket pardons. Will that be your advice to the president?
Senator, I have not looked at any of those.
Now that's funny. Pencil neck Adam Schiff. The old pencil neck. You know, this is an example of why California politics are so corrupted. How does a guy like Adam Schiff win? A known liar, a known fraudster, a known hoaxer. Was one of the leading voices in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. Sat there in his congressional seat and lied about it. Lied about it during committee. Lied about it during hearings. See what I mean when I talk about Democrats falling forward, Democrats failing up? Schiff is a perfect example. He sat there and lied to everybody about Trump-Russia collusion. He sat there and claimed he had the evidence and he was going to present it in committee, and he never did. He's a total lying fraud failure, and yet he gets promoted to senator. Did they steal the election from Steve Garvey, or did the people of California really vote for that pencil-necked, lying scumbag? Ed Buck, friend. Yeah, there's an old one for you. Old Ed Buck. Boy, oh boy. Okay, how about this? How do we feel about this? By the way, here's the rest of your schedule. We already told you what's going on today. Tomorrow's confirmation hearings include Doug Burgum, Secretary of the Interior, Lee Zeldin, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator, Scott Turner, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Pam Bondi, day two. So it's going to go on tomorrow as well. And then Scott Bessent, Secretary of Treasury. That'll be an interesting one. Friday, Kristi Noem is scheduled, and then they will begin again post-inauguration activities on the 20th with Elise Stefanik scheduled right now for January 21st. Doug Collins as well, and then I'm sure the rest of them. But I think tomorrow the interesting one is going to be Scott Bessent more than anything. And then you know what they're going to ask of Kristi Noem on Friday, right? Yeah, I think we all anticipate what's going to happen with that. So that's upcoming. But a little more action here. How do we feel about the catfighting going on with the women? You know, part of me looks at it and is like, this is embarrassing. And, you know, I'm not somebody that stumps against the 19th Amendment. But, you know, those voices exist. And this is, I guess, part of the reason why people feel that way. So we have female catfighting now. That goes on regularly between these female House of Representatives. But also another side of me says, you know, this is kind of what politics used to be like. I mean, there used to be trash talking. I mean, they used to have death threats. They used to have literal duels, shoot each other. They used to go and whack each other with canes. So part of me is like, oh, boy, female catfighting in Congress. And then another part of me is like, well, actually, this is kind of U.S. politics. This is kind of what congressional activity is supposed to be like is, yeah, you're having it out. I mean, you have extreme disagreements on policy and ideology, so maybe it gets a little heated. But here you go. They're at it again. Mace, Nancy Mace, and Jasmine Crockett go at it again. Clip 17.
We have the right to know that we're not going to have trans people filming us in the bathroom. How many of these trannies are taking selfies? These men are taking selfies in women's spaces in the bathroom. It's gross. It's disgusting. So if we're going to talk about civil rights, let's talk about the rights of women in this country and how you are stripping them away every single day. And you're doing it in your legislation. You're doing it in your messaging. You're doing it on X. You're making women feel unsafe in this country. And you're making the opportunity for women and girls to be raped, to be sexually abused in this country, even greater than they've ever, ever been. So don't come over here with your attitude and talk to me about rights when you're trying to take my rights as a woman, a rape survivor, away. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Gentlelady yields back. Any member seek recognition? Ms. Stansberry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the gentlelady across the aisle demonstrating why we need civil rights. We need civil rights to protect all people, especially trans Americans who are under attack right now. I would like to yield the rest of my time to the gentlelady who is carrying the amendment.
I don't even know how we got there because I tried to make it clear how many civil rights. It doesn't just boil down to one conversation, but I can see that somebody's campaign coffers really are struggling right now. So she gonna keep saying trans, 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 so that people will feel threatened. And child, listen, I want y'all
I
to
am
tell
no
me
child.
Whether or
Do not call me a child. I am no child.
I want
Don't
to
even
find
start.
Out.
I am a grown
which
woman.
Which of those
I'm 47
emails
years old. I
actually
have
more
glass ceilings
than Chairman, you have. I am reclaiming my time.
You will not do that.
Order.
I am not
Chairman.
A child. I am
reclaiming my time.
If you want to take it outside.
Mr. Chairman, a committee.
Take it outside.
Okay,
order.
Point of order. Point of order.
Order. Chair recognizes Ms. Crockett.
No, point of order, Mr. Chairman.
State your point.
Is it allowed in the rules for a member to
incite violence against another member. I mean, she just said she wants to take it outside with.
Hey, I have the First Amendment right too.
And so I'd like those words to be taken down. I am moving to have those words taken down. I believe it's against the rules.
Going outside doesn't incite violence. You have a conversation that isn't.
The committee will suspend. The member will state the words he wishes taken down.
Where she said that. We can take it outside, which is direct violation against the rules, inciting violence against another member.
What rule? What rule? Like the rule. How does that incite violence?
So there you go. How do we feel about it? How do we feel about the cat fighting now? It's a regular occurrence between, it's usually Crockett. Crockett is usually the one instigating it, but then, Mace plays along and Marjorie Taylor Greene plays along. AOC's got to get her time in there, too. How do we feel? It's on one end, it's embarrassing. On another end, it's entertaining. And then, really, I think it's kind of just classic politics, but the female version. So it's not men beating each other with their canes or into fisticuffs or challenging their opposition to a duel. But it's your female version of a cat fight. I don't know. Maybe some hair pulling happens. Maybe somebody's weave ends up on the floor of the Capitol building at some point in time if this keeps up. So there you go. That's your activity today from the Capitol. We do have some other political news we will get to as well. I've got a guest coming up to talk about some of these legal issues. Bob Barnes from the 1776 Law Center. Got a lot of stuff I want to talk to him about, and he's always got plenty to say about the politics as well. Now, again, folks, we told you the Trump silver coin at the alexjonesstore.com is in stock right now. But yesterday, we were very excited to announce this new product. Great limited edition classic trench knife, the 1776 Liberator limited edition classic trench knife. Available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm telling you, this thing is the real deal. Very high quality knife, very high quality case that comes with it as well. And we bring you cool limited edition stuff. I bet this one sells out pretty quickly. It's going to be very popular. The Trump Victory 2024 on one side of the blade, and then the Don't Tread on Me with the Gadsden Snake on the other side of the blade. I'm thinking this thing sells out quick. So get a part of this InfoWars memorabilia and knife at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even HOTES has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C plus. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Infowars.com/show. is under attack. This is the War Room.
All right, this is insane. We were gathering a clip of the Los Angeles Fire Department Union President. Tearful L.A. Fire Union President warned of dangerous fire department understaffing last year. And we were pulling that clip in. We have it ready to go, but we did even more digging here. Folks, this is, I'm telling you, there have to be charges. Charges have to be filed against Newsom and Bass. This is, it's criminal what they've done, and everybody knew it. And this was from the CNN story. Data shows L.A. Fire Department among the most understaffed in America. That is the headline. And Freddie Escobar, president of the Los Angeles Fire Union and veteran firefighter himself, said that they were at a breaking point. Remember, this is the same fire department that was donating equipment to Ukraine. Said they're at a breaking point. Said, quote, I'm going to say what people can't say because the firemen now are scared to talk. If we cut one position, if we close one station, the residents of Los Angeles are going to pay the ultimate sacrifice and someone will die. And now that's happened. And there's over $250 billion in damage and dozens of people have died. Everybody knew it. This is criminal negligence or intentional incompetence. Lawsuits. Newsom and Bass need to be sued. They need to be sued over this. This is how bad it is. So here's the L.A. Fire Union speaking to the media.
This is Fire Captain Freddie Escobar, 35-year veteran of the L.A. Fire Department, so he knows the situation very well, and he's president of United Firefighters of L.A. City. Watch this.
At that commission meeting, You said, it's dire, someone will die.
It's eerie listening to your words, because that's what occurred. So this is a woefully understaffed fire department. We either going to have a fire department that's going to reflect 2025, or we're going to have a fire department that's going to reflect the 1960s.
On Monday, I held an event, a press conference, to lay out specific things that we could do to help people now, to help LA recover and rebuild, and to make sure this anything on this scale doesn't happen again. With me was a retired Los Angeles firefighter. And the reason I asked for a retired firefighter was that I thought a retired person would be able to speak more freely than someone who's in the department now. And the fact that you, and he said exactly the same that we've just heard there and more, but the fact you've got someone in the department right now saying these things just tells you the level of rage throughout the department at the leadership. Going back to what Jonathan was reporting there, and he said that the fire chief said that she was happy with the plan in terms of letting those people go off shift. She didn't exactly say that. She said their plan, right. Their plan, as if it's nothing to do with her. She's the chief, just like Mayor Karen Bass, yucking it up in Ghana. I mean, that is really the symbol of the incompetence and mismanagement and dereliction of duty.
So a month ago, Freddie Escobar, the president of the Los Angeles Fire Union, said, quote, the residents of Los Angeles are going to pay the ultimate sacrifice and someone will die because of the lack of leadership from the fire chief and the policies of Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom. Warned somebody would die. Now dozens have died and $250 billion in damages. People need to resign. People need to face lawsuits, charges, even prison time for this. We cannot let them get away with this. And my guess is there's going to be more information that comes out in the coming weeks of how bad this really was. how criminal this whole lead up to this was.
Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP Club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, and ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech, and we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
The beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, joining me now is the great Robert Barnes, at Barnes_Law on X, a great follow there. And, of course, with the 1776 Law Center, which I personally owe a great gratitude towards for all the legal defense they've done for me, legal offense they've done for me as well at the 1776 Law Center, 1776lawcenter.com. But they've also done great work fighting back against the victims of the vaccine mandates. They've done great work fighting for the Amish farmers and their freedoms as well. And so 1776 Law Center is one of the great places, and I'm very appreciative for Bob Barnes' work there as well. I got a ton of stuff that, I mean, I could talk about anything with Bob, but I can't help it. I want to know your thoughts on this, because the more that comes out about the L.A. wildfires, the more I sit here and I think people need to rot in jail. This is criminal negligence, intentional incompetence, and they think they can just slough this off and blame climate change or anybody but themselves. Do the people that are victims of this, that have lost everything, lost their property, lost lives, do they have any legal recourse? I mean, how do we find justice for this, which we know is clearly at best, I would say, criminal negligence, at worst, intentional even. So, Bob Barnes, what is your take?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Harmeet Dillon, the incoming head of the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department as Trump's nominee, who's from California, will take a look at this, because to me, it does smack of criminal culpability. I lived in Malibu for a long time. One of the houses I lived in managed to survive. Two of the others are gone. Restaurants, bars, clubs, other places I've visited over the years is all gone. It's like the memories vanished overnight. And one of the reasons why I left Malibu was because it was popular within the California zeitgeist to talk about burn Malibu burn. Mike Davis wrote about it, Urban Renewal, other people wrote about it. Basically, the political powers that be wanted this to happen. They see these wealthy, affluent areas as maldistribution of resources, and that the world would be a better place if literally it burnt down. So, you know, there's reason to suspect various degrees of intentionality, if not criminal recklessness or intent, when you have those kind of ideas being propagated by the political powers that be in the state. You would think that with all the wealthy Democratic donors that are in Malibu or Palisades, that they would be respective and responsive to them, but they're not. And they haven't been for a long time. And one of the reasons why I left was it was clear that it would not be protected over time. And, you know, and this has been a common continual pattern in California. They've known about this risk, and they've deliberately taken steps to exaggerate and exacerbate the risk rather than mitigate and reduce the risk. You look at people like, you know, Joel Pollack, editor from Breitbart, lives there in the Palisades. His house barely survived. Jessica Vaughn, who lived there in the Palisades, I think her place is gone. I know a lot of other people that live there, because I lived there for a long time, that just gone. Everything is literally up in smoke. And then additionally, the government made it very difficult for you to get homeowners insurance if you lived in the Palisades or you lived in Malibu. because they wanted, they capped the rates and then wouldn't raise the rates and wouldn't take basic precautionary steps to help. And so the net effect of that is that you have people who lose everything, that they have no means to rebuild, no means to because there's no insurance proceeds. And so then even if you do somehow get permission to rebuild, you have to get the Coastal Commission, everybody to sign on. And last time this happened, 1993 fires, it took people 12 years to be able to even get permission to rebuild on their own homes on their own land, because that's how nuts the regulatory infrastructure is in California. So what you're seeing is a literal dystopian disaster range in what is supposed to be one of the nicest places on the planet. I mean, Malibu is the place where Iron Man lives, right? It's a beautiful area. The weather's almost always perfect. And yet California's way to respect it is to let it burn to the ground, because it doesn't fit diversity, equity, inclusion politics. They've compounded this by not having competent, capable firemen, as many as they needed, because they fired a bunch of them if they didn't take the vaccine. Other than New York, California was the worst place for vaccine mandates. And so you had all kinds of federal employees, state employees, other people that ultimately lost their employment. And that was another reason why some of the best and most skilled and most talented and most capable firemen weren't there. And then that's compounded by making sure the hierarchy is all promoted the same way the military has been promoting, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And you see these people that brag about how they can't help your husband escape the property even though they're the deputy chief or chief. And it's just incredible. I mean, some of those photos, I lived in places, right, where they used to be there. Now it's just nothing but empty ground. And so to me, these are systemic civil rights violations. And I think it's what all the lawfare is as well, that I think people are making money off of this. I think they're planning on some developers and other people getting a back end a piece out of this. And I think that there needs to be a federal investigation into what's taking place. You also have PG&E, which is constantly causing issues with fires. You have the way they've treated the homeless and where they've located the homeless, and they've put them in places where they know they're going to start fires and spread fires, and yet they take no corrective, remedial, preventative action. So it, at multiple levels, what they've done is the product of deliberate intent and extraordinary recklessness of a set of policies and politics that is literally burning the state down in the most beautiful part of the state and the most beautiful part of the country. And if they're willing to do that, it tells you where their mindset and mentality is in general. So I think we absolutely need meaningful civil rights investigations into what took place in California. We need meaningful civil rights investigations into what took place in Hawaii. Both of these smack of very similar, beautiful areas where there's some people are going to get fabulously rich, connected to government, and ordinary homeowners and the locals are going to get stiff. And we need to dig into this and to see who profited, how they profited, the way in which they profited, the degree to which their negligence led to recklessness, led to intentionality, because of the underlying ideology, idolatry of diversity, equity, inclusion, and leftist politics that thinks it should burn and is happy that it's burning. And that's the mindset and mentality of people in positions of power and prominence in California, which is deeply disturbing. And like all the other lawfare cases, the best way to go after local state lawfare is the Federal Civil Rights Act. The Federal Civil Rights Act can be used to look at Judge Mershon and his daughter in New York, to look at Fannie Willis in Georgia, to look at the lawfare that targeted President Trump, to look at the lawfare that's targeted other people. So it's a combination of these natural disasters that have been badly mishandled and mismanaged, along with the open and overt lawfare that they've utilized in other places, warrants federal criminal and civil rights inquiries that hopefully the Trump administration engages in, so we don't see a repeat of this in the future.
What about any precedent where, for example, if I have a psychotic neighbor and he's threatening to kill me, and I call local law enforcement or, you know, whoever, powers that be, and I say, hey, my neighbor is trying to kill me. My neighbor's trying to kill me 3-4 times, and they don't do anything, and then my neighbor comes over and kills me. Is there any precedent there of responsibility as far as the courts are concerned?
They make it very, very difficult. They basically establish that there's no duty to protect, so that they would have to have dropped the killer off in your front yard. Then they might be responsible. But if they know about the killer, take no corrective and remedial action, promise you corrective and remedial action, and then the killer does something terrible, the courts generally hold them immune from suit. And so it's but
so
here,
that's why you're speaking of the civil rights is the way to go here.
Yeah, correct. The federal civil rights is the only really effective remedy out there. And hopefully Harmeet Dillon will empower it. The Obama administration and the Biden administration empowered it for their political purposes. We should empower it for constitutional purposes. Its original intent was to deal with rogue law enforcement and rogue judges at the state and local level. And that's what we have both in the natural disaster scenarios and we have in the lawfare in both cases. And it will really require a robust, active civil rights department to do what it's supposed to be doing rather than being politically weaponized as a tool to take over local law enforcement, which is what Obama and Biden used it for. And then they had those governments write big fat checks and others write fat checks that they gave over to their preferred NGOs. I mean, you're going to dig in what you're going to – the other area you're going to find here, that this degree of negligence could not occur without misspending of money, misallocation of resources. And that is going to likely be fraudulent. So you have all kinds of money that's been given to the state of California that its own people have authorized to be raised through bonds and other areas solely for the purpose of fire prevention and putting out fires so they don't spread. And it seems the federal government gives them tons of money. Where did that money go? Because quite clearly it didn't go to fighting fires. And that's really misspending money. And that's where if you follow the money, you're also going to find a track record of illegal behavior by high-ranking government officials. People like Nancy Pelosi – managed to get fabulously rich while in Congress. That's probably not a coincidence. So did that money go to help the Pelosi's of the world, their personal bank account, rather than protect people's homes?
Yeah.
Because it sure looks like it.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying that day one, and this is why Newsom was begging Biden for the money before Trump got in. And they're going to, now they're probably begging, hey, wire it now, wire it now. Like, get it to us now before Trump gets in there and can do any strict oversight of this, because they want to get that money in there. And then, it is all going to disappear before Trump gets in there. It kind of makes me think, Biden's not going to do it. But, if you were Trump, it's like in the Batman movie in The Dark Knight, how they marked the money that went to all of the criminals, and then they were able to track the movements of the money, and then they were able to identify all the criminals in that movie. It's like, how do you do something like that? We're going to send federal funds. We'll pretend there's no oversight, and then we'll actually follow the money and catch all the criminals stealing the money in California. Maybe we're getting a little too Hollywood, but that's what I would try to do, because the money gets stolen, Bob. It's so obvious. It's all this money that goes to California gets stolen, and they have the highest tax rates, and they get the most, I think they get the most federal funding, I believe more in New York, and then they can't even do basic fire maintenance. They can't even do basic fire protection protocols, and the city just burns to the ground. And then meanwhile, the politicians out there are the richest people in the country.
Completely. And you're right by an ocean. You're right by an ocean. You let it burn down.
Yeah.
I mean, because of all the lunatic environmental rules that they have. They have one environmental rule after another that makes it almost impossible to build, makes it almost impossible to develop. As President Trump pointed out all the way back when he was on Rogan, right before the election, he goes, there's easy solutions to California's water issues, that you just have to not adopt insane environmental policies. And he goes, you would have no water issues in California, and you would have far fewer fire issues in California. So that's where it needs to be systemic correction remedy needs to happen. You got real victims here. People have lost their lives. People have lost their property. People have lost their homes. And that fuels, hopefully, a meaningful inquiry and investigation. That, like you said, all you got to do is follow the money. You follow the money, you're going to find a whole bunch of crimes that were committed because money was not spent where it was supposed to be spent. Not only that, there was open and overt discrimination. In California law, like federal law, prohibits hiring people based on race, gender, or sexual preference, and yet it's quite clear that's exactly what they were doing. That, if you were a certain race, if you were a certain gender, if you had a certain sexual preference, then you got a job over somebody else, even if that person was less qualified for that position, as has been revealed in the aftermath of the disastrous debacle that is the California wildfires. And it's not like they didn't know this was coming. I mean, this has been a problem now for decades. And like I said, their internal ideological logic has been to want to see it burn, that to see Malibu replaced by, low income apartment housing for illegals. That's the way the left thinks. It's a very destructive mindset. It's very Hitlerian, actually, because that was Hitler's point. Hitler kept emphasizing, I can't build my socialist utopia until I tear down the so-called Jewish state. He was obsessed with tearing it down first. All radicals, communists, fascists, Nazis, left, doesn't matter where they come from, is primarily and principally destructive rather than constructive. And that's what the left is, and that's why they like. That's why they actually have, you know, text called "Burn Malibu, Burn," and now we're seeing it happen.
Well, this is actually a great point too, because it's about for leftists, it's about, what would be the best way to put it? It's about programs, not people. So they're not thinking about people. They're thinking about, hey, what do I need to do to get this program installed? Oh, is it low-income housing in Malibu? Is it a smart city in Los Angeles? Okay, well, we let it burn. Well, they're not thinking about the people that suffer. They couldn't care less about the people. All they think about is their program. All they think about is their agenda. So, oh, yeah, city burns, $250 billion damage, people die, lose their properties. They couldn't care less. And I think the response to this is really, the proof is in the pudding, that they really don't care. The mayor's in Ghana. You know, Newsom is doing photo shoots in front of the damage, but you know, won't even address what really happened. It's sad. It's sad. But I guess, you know, the question everybody's asking now is this what it took for maybe people on the left that still had a couple brain cells to rub together that aren't evil people to say, we've screwed up big. Something has gone horribly wrong here. Like the Los Angeles Times owner did a video basically saying, you know what, we regret endorsing Karen Bass. We did it because she was a black woman and we weren't even thinking about competence. And now a whole city is burned down as he's kind of slumped over, clearly looking bad about that decision. It's hard to get any hope that leftists or liberals are ever going to see the sunlight. Does it take a city burning down? Is that what it takes?
I mean, I think what it reflects is that, I mean, I think they're shocked by Trump winning as well. But the degree to which these, like the tech bros, at least got a sense of it over the last 4 years when they realized, oh, backing Democrats is a mistake. Democrats are power mad. They're statist. And that they would, you know, Elon Musk, who had been an ally, they would go after. David Sachs, who had been an ally, they would go after. Other people like that, like the Winklevoss twins, they would go after. And that woke up people in crypto where they realized they got to get proactive. You know, people like Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus, they, you know, they're trying to put him in prison for 109 years for speaking out against what they were trying to do to Bitcoin in the intelligence community over the last 4 years. You can read the book, Hijacking Bitcoin and, you know, within a month of that book being published, all of a sudden he's facing massive criminal prosecution over taxes he didn't owe during a time period. He wasn't even a U.S. citizen, in which he relied entirely on his accountants and attorneys. And what they did is they hid the information, and they lied to the Spanish courts and the American courts about what they found in his attorney-client files that they illicitly stole in the first place. So that it took all of that to wake a lot of people up in the crypto space and the tech space. They realized, hold on a second, that this statist mindset mentality is madness, and that we need to disassociate and divorce ourselves from the Democratic Party's current ideological approach. And hopefully, I mean, to me, it was obvious when 10 years ago I'm sitting in a Malibu bookstore and I'm reading a chapter inside a book about urban renewal that's literally titled Burn Malibu Burn. And I'm like, why in the world would I stay in a place where the local powers that be want it burned to the ground? And now, is it any coincidence we see it burned to the ground? I don't think so.
Are you saying people should take your relocation advice?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been saying for years, thank God I'm not there now. You know, it was a Federal Reserve banker who convinced me not to buy a home in Malibu, probably back in 05. But yeah, you can look at Roger Ver's book. I mean, the freerogernow.org has put up the, his lawyers have filed a motion to dismiss. And then they just blatantly lied all the way through. They said that Roger Ver lied to his accountants and his attorneys and didn't take their advice. It was just the opposite. He did exactly what they told him to do, which is a complete defense under tax law. And so it's like, why are they even going after this guy who's not even a U.S. citizen who doesn't owe taxes like they say he does anyway? Well, it's because they just politicized everything. And it was, think about what it says when you're willing to politically weaponize the fire department, fire department. When you're willing to politically weaponize whether or not you get fire protection or not, you have an idea of how nuts the Democratic Party's become. That's why they're trying to lock up their political opponents, bankrupt their political opponents, keep their political opponents off the ballot, and now literally burn them out of house and home. So it just shows so I think some will wake up, but some will not. Some are still deep in the delusion.
Yeah, but I mean, politics aside, you got to think the victims of this have got to be outraged. I mean, they might still be just hardcore leftist Democrats, but I mean, by the way, I can't think of, I'm trying to think, is there anybody else you've given relocation advice to recently that you might also be defending in cases? I don't know. I don't know the guy. I certainly wouldn't see him if I looked in the mirror. But again, I think about just the people that lost everything, and I'm like, their outrage has to be at Newsom and Bass. I don't care what, I mean, most of them are probably Democrats. Oh, yes. But I don't see, when do you think, I think it's going to be a week or two, but I think the outrage, just straight rage towards Newsom and Bass is inevitable. I mean, they can't avoid this. These people have got to be beyond ticked off.
Well, especially when you add in that they're going to start finding out that there's no money. Like, there's supposed to be a state fund as a backup plan in case you don't have insurance. It's empty. They've emptied that fund. So they're going to discover there's no money. So they're going to discover their property was burnt down and there's nobody to reimburse them anywhere, any place, at any time. And then the more information will come out about the degree to which this could only be facilitated by the deliberate policies of the city, the county, and the state. Because you got the city's policies, which is one part of it. Then you've got the county, because like Malibu and the Palisades are in the county, not the city. So you got the county's politics side of it, and then you got the state's politics side of it. Now, Newsom wants to be president, so he's not going to take the fall. So he's going to try to find other people to blame without question, even though he's the governor and he's the symbol of it all. He'll probably try to get as much money from as many places as he can to buy off the most politically troublesome potential complainants. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a lot of people with a lot of resources whose houses were burnt down, and that usually have the political acumen to get remedial action. And as they discover how bad it was, how deliberate it was, how intentional it was, how policy-driven it was, I do hope that there'll be some blowback, finally, for the disastrous debacle that is California policy.
When you have the head of the L.A. Fire Union a month ago coming out and saying people are going to lose their lives if something doesn't change, I mean, that tells you pretty much everything you need to know right there. And that's why I'm thinking, is there any precedent if you give a warning and it's not heeded and then people die, where do you go legally from there? But I don't think Bass and Newsom escaped this. Now, like you said, Newsom is still going to run for president. Democrats have a tendency to fail forward somehow. The more corrupt you are, the more they want you to climb the party ladder. Bass is cooked. She's done. She's toast. I doubt she lasts till the next election. But I do wonder, what will Newsom's strategy be to have this slide off of his back instead of burn his political career to the ground?
I mean, the other thing he's got to deal with is for example, a bunch of people, evacuees, had nowhere to go because the hotels they were supposed to go in were busy being occupied by either illegals or homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, and then it's illegal setting fires as well. It's homeless people setting fires as well. So that, and then they were doing it as systemic crime operation. So under the cover of the fires, or they would even set a fire in one place so they could go do robberies in another place. I mean, it's just an utter disaster.
Oh my gosh! The looting
across
too.
The board. Oh. Absolutely. I mean, this is horrible. Democratic policy writ large, right?
Totally. That you're right. That is the symbol. You want to look at Democrat Party politics? Look at the city of LA burning to the ground. Bob Barnes is my guest. 1776lawcenter.com @Barnes_law on X. I want to talk about the Trump case next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to
the vaccine mandates, which they have in store for us, please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. We didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spread the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you. One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss. It equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are. And that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taking place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate CMOS gummies are finally back in stock. Now, this is our number one bestseller at thealexjonesstore.com, and for good reason. Ultimate CMOS gummies are loaded with iodine, which we know that our thyroid needs in order to effectively detox our bodies from all the pollutants and toxins that are in the food, water, and air that we breathe. Folks, we are under relentless assault from the New World Order. They're trying to shut down InfoWars. They're trying to silence Alex Jones, and they're trying to attack our minds and our bodies with all these toxins and chemicals that are all around us all the time. Please check out Ultimate CMOS gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com and benefit from the amazing benefits of this product. It's got bladderwrack and burdock root in it, which is also rich in iodine. It's the amazing, most bioavailable way to get iodine in your thyroid. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and experience the benefits of the antioxidant and immune support, energy and bone strength, helps promote heart health, provides gut support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Check it out right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Bob Barnes, my guest here for the remainder of the hour. And he started the 1776 Law Center, one of the great legal groups, legal teams out there defending Americans' rights, their sovereignty. He has defended the Amish farmers that they came after. He has defended the victims of the COVID-19 vaccine mandates that they came after. And he's defended me. He's taken my court's cases to the Supreme Court. He's defended me with the Democrats trying to come after everything I own, the IRS trying to come after everything I own. So very appreciative of the work they do over there at the 1776 Law Center. Now, they've mostly failed, Bob, with what they've tried to do to Donald Trump with all these legal cases. They wanted to separate Trump from the Trump voter. They wanted to somehow, through color of law, say that he couldn't run. They probably wanted to put him in jail. They have successfully taken a cut of his money. but he's mostly survived that as well. But now, what does it all mean? What does it mean with Jack Smith trying to release all of his reports? What does it mean with Judge Mershon saying, you know, basically unconditional release? What does all this mean? Where does Trump really stand legally concerned right now as he's about to enter the White House?
So, I mean, hopefully the New York case ultimately gets vacated because it's a ridiculous case. All of them were, the criminal case, the civil cases. The one civil case he's going to have to wait on the Supreme Court to resolve because the Second Circuit affirmed it, which I, you know, that crazy, one of the crazy sexual assault cases, not the big verdict one, but the smaller verdict one. I do think his the New York civil, you know, attempt to bankrupt him, that case will be thrown out. The I think ultimately the second sexual assault case, the verdict will be thrown out. The and then the only remaining one in New York is the criminal case. And then there's the Georgia criminal case, which he still actually lists him, even though Fannie Willis has been ordered to disqualify herself, and that will likely end that case. She's taking that up to the Georgia Supreme Court, which probably won't get further involved. And so I think the Georgia case will get thrown out. And then ultimately, I think a New York higher court hopefully will throw out the New York criminal case, which was also an embarrassment to the rule of law, an embarrassment to the principles of constitutional governance in America. In my view, the Judge Mershon, along with the Judge Engoron, both violated the, and I believe the federal judge that presided over the bogus rape trial, I believe all of them have violated Trump's civil rights. And they were doing what they did clearly to interfere in the election. That's what the goal always was, and it's what it maintains. And what you have is Jack Smith trying to cover for, I mean, I think he was, as a court determined, he was not legally authorized or empowered to do what he did. So everything he did under color of law was in violation of Trump's civil rights because he wasn't lawfully authorized to act in the first place. Least of all, the $70-80 million he was given to launch the harassment campaign against President Trump. So the I mean, Jack Smith's the guy that does this for a living. I mean, it my view is Trump would benefit, you know, while litigating all of his state cases and hopefully getting the courts to vacate them all and have the federal cases thrown out for good as well. That Trump should look at expanding and extending his lawfare committee research to look at highlighting other cases that are comparable to his that emphasize how the Justice Department has gone AWOL, how the deep state has corrupted our administrative enforcement of the law. And there's so many good examples. And that's where my view is create a lawfare committee inside the White House, work with the Justice Department, issue pardons, commutations, and different verdicts. But for example, you know what Trump can authorize? Trump can authorize payments be made to people whose rights were violated. Even if the federal government is immune and can't be sued, that doesn't stop President Trump from proactively taking action for people whose rights were violated by the prior administration. This is what the Biden administration did. They wrote big, huge checks to everybody who burnt down D.C. in the summer of 2020.
That's right.
They wrote checks to them. So
that was kind of an underreported story. If you want to just kind of maybe for a minute go into those details, people might be hearing that for the first time. A lot of those leftist protesters literally got cut a check.
Exactly. These are people who tried to burn down the St. John's Church, who tried to break into the White House, who attacked law enforcement. All the things they accused the January 6th defendants of, these people in the summer of love of 2020 who set D.C. afire. So where it looks like Malibu does right now. And what did they get for it? Not only were none of them criminally prosecuted, they ended up getting checks from the government for the cops being mean to them. I mean, it was utterly insane. So the Trump has the power. Even if the federal government has immunity, Trump can write checks to whoever he wants to write checks from using that precedent. And I think that every January 6th defendant deserves a check for the harassment they got from the lawless actions of the government.
Yep.
And as part of it, like to me, I would expand it to include anybody who was a victim of lawfare, include Julian Assange, include Edward Snowden, include Ross Ulbricht, Silk Road defendant, include Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus, include these, include look at Leonard Peltier, look at a range of people who
Beveline Beattie, Tina Peters, the list goes on.
Absolutely. And for each one, find a way to get remedy, find a way to get relief. I think, and then there needs to be federal civil rights investigations of people who violated federal law and state law, and that includes in constitutional law. And that includes the everything associated with the Hawaii fire, everything associated with the Malibu fire, but also everything associated with this lawfare, including Judge Mershon in New York, Fannie Willis in Georgia. But it has to go further. There has been an effort of people in positions of power to systematically undermine the American constitutional government over the past 4 years. And some of the critical culprits are named Bill Gates, are named George Soros. These names need to be included on the list of people who are criminally investigated and civilly prosecuted as appropriate, because I believe the evidence will show they were culpable and complicit in misleading the American people, causing mass death, and they're involved in the NGOs, along with the United Nations and members of the Biden administration, in illegally funding the aiding and abetting of illegal entry into the United States of criminal gangs through South and Central America, using their NGOs to do so. George Soros, principally culpable there. Bill Gates, principally culpable for all of the activity of his involvement in Wuhan. If we have a meaningful investigation of Wuhan, it will lead to not only implicating China and the Wuhan lab, but it will go to implicating the United States deep state, high-ranking military officials, Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, some people in the private sector. So there needs to be a reconciliation commission, a truth commission.
I'll tell you what, let me go down that route for a second here, and I do want to come back to the January 6th pardons, because there is a lawsuit coming out of Missouri. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Attorney General Andrew Bailey of Missouri. The court date has been set for the trial in Missouri versus China. Missouri, as of now, is the only state in the nation to face off against China for the harm they caused to Americans during COVID-19. Now, you dig into this, and it seems to be more about them kind of covering it up, withholding the truth, withholding supplies. I don't see too much in here about actually causing the virus, and so I'm not sure if they're anticipating of it going there. Missouri lawsuit accusing China of hoarding pandemic gear can proceed, but it will go on. But is this an avenue, perhaps, to kind of open that bag into China and the creation of Wuhan and get to the results that you were just talking about?
I think a meaningful inquiry into what happened with COVID will lead to implicating China, implicating Anthony Fauci, implicating high-ranking deep state employees, because the reality is the U.S. deep state that placed that lab in China. So it was the U.S. deep state in bed with China, Bill Gates in bed with China. As to the development of these various so-called biosafety designs. But what they are, bioweapons. They call them biosafety labs. That's just a disguise to get around the fact they violate the treaty on bioweapons. When you're doing research on a unique bioweapon, you're not really defending, you're not trying to create a defensive weapon for it, because the probability somebody's creating the exact same bioweapon somewhere else is next to nil. You're creating a bioweapon. That's what they were doing.
By the way, was implicated. The same odds next to nil that whatever you're creating with gain of function is going to be the same mutation that the virus takes as well. So, I mean, it's like, right. I mean, your best hope is 1% you can guess right, but it's not even that.
Exactly. And that's why what these are, illegal bioweapons labs that were funded by the U.S. government in bed with China. And they all, remember, China initially said it was a U.S. military, that COVID-19 was a U.S. military weapon. And then they backed off of saying anything further because it would implicate them because it came from their Wuhan lab. But China initially acknowledged that this came from a U.S. They were initially suspect that it was deliberate by the U.S. to try to hurt China. They didn't think it was meant to hurt the rest of the world, as it in fact turned out to be. So I think a thorough investigation, a truth and reconciliation commission as to COVID-19. Will, as some prominent people are now calling for, what needs to happen in order to discourage and deter this from ever happening again. Just like we need remedies for the fires, we need remedies for the lawfare, we need remedies for COVID-19. Otherwise, we're going to re-experience disasters like the Malibu fire, like the Hawaii fire, like the COVID-19 pandemic politics, like the lawfare of the last 4 years. So that's why there has to be some consequence that the public can have confidence that that we have restored the republic. And in the same way, there needs to be deterrence of bad actors becoming the next Karen Bass, becoming the next Anthony Fauci, becoming the next Bill Gates, becoming the next George Soros. And that's where there needs to be – the first step is getting his people confirmed. But the second step is those people doing something with that confirmation.
Well, see, that's the frustration right there, isn't it, is most – most people now, even in Congress from both sides of the aisle, I would say, maybe there's a little hesitation on the left because they're more loyal to the narrative. But most people would admit that it now did come out of a lab. It was out of a lab. It was covered up. They did lie about it. They also destroyed many people's lives over the protocols. They even admit the vaccines were ineffective and had massive harmful side effects. So, okay, so it's like we're now the consensus is that was the correct take. So when do the punishments start, right? It's like we've reached the point of, okay, we won the narrative war. Our information was right. Theirs was wrong. But nobody ever gets punished. And I think that that's the big frustration here. I want to just revert back to the January 6th situation with the pardons. Pam Bondi indicates, it would seem, if you read in between the lines, that, and Vance making a statement too, that they are going to do case by case. More concerningly to me, it would appear that nobody's even begun that process, though. I'm looking at this and I'm saying that is something that needs to be taken care of day one, week one. Every day that a political prisoner of the Biden administration rots in jail in the Trump administration is bad. That's just bad. They should have been preparing for this since Trump got elected, quite frankly. But now the indications are that they aren't prepared and that they're going to go case by case. Well, maybe they can right that wrong with what you're talking about. And I won't get into some of the conversations about lawsuits that may come down in the future. But what can Trump do to right these wrongs? Does he take the Biden order? Does he take the Biden approach and cut checks? Is there a legal maneuver that defendants can take in order to get restitution? Where do you stand on all things January 6th pardons and justice?
You know, my view, and I think Julie Kelly's made this argument well as well, is there needs to not be a focus on the individual characteristics of the January 6th defendants. It needs to be a universal approach to the way in which those defendants were treated. And to me, the issue is not whether every single January 6th defendant was a perfect human being. The question is whether or not any January 6th defendants had their constitutional rights respected. And the answer is no. And at every level, you have a constitutional right in America to not be selectively prosecuted for your political activities. That's a right embedded in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. There is no doubt that these people were targeted for their political speech, their political activities, and their political affiliations. People who engaged in identical or worse conduct were not prosecuted and have never been prosecuted in the District of Columbia. And so the fact that these individuals were meant that they were being prosecuted because of their political beliefs, not because of their conduct. And that violates the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, just as the entire prosecution in your case, Owen, was based on the punishment was sought was solely based on your press and speech conduct. That's a First Amendment violation. That by itself is grounds for pardoning.
Look, not to make this about me, because quite frankly, all things considered, you know, I've already gotten through my punishment. I've already cleared my probation. There are people still in prison. And so their cases are way more important than mine at this point, even to myself. But it is true. My case is actually one of the best cases to look at and to use as an example. They don't even hide it that it was all about my speech. They knew I didn't do anything other than step on the wrong blade of grass, which at that point, I mean, we were trying to stop people from going in. So, I mean, really, if you're looking at a case to use as an example, I mean, my case is about as clear cut as it gets.
Absolutely. I mean, they targeted a journalist for their political activities and their speech, and they said, please punish him based on his speech on his TV show. That's precisely what they said and did. There's no doubt. There's no questions. There's no reason for second guessing any aspect of it. And that's just the first violation that every January 6th defendant shares, a First Amendment violation of why they were prosecuted, why punishment was sought that was disproportionate. But then you go next and you get to the Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, Eighth Amendment. That if we look at the Eighth Amendment, your right to bail pending trial. Has been routinely and repeatedly denied, and many of them have served years in jail, including solitary confinement, without ever even being convicted of a crime. Then you have often the interference with their choice of counsel, denial of key discovery documents that they were entitled to. And then you have the other key parts of our process that guarantee impartiality. That is that the grand jury has to be impartial. The trial jury has to be impartial. The judge has to be impartial, and the prosecutor has to be impartial. All four were politically prejudiced as to every January 6th defendant. The grand juries were basically rubber stamps because they hated the politics of the people that were being accused. So they ratcheted up charges in ways that were not done before. That was not an impartial grand jury. The same is true if you go to the prosecutor's offices. They are all motivated by hostility and hatred of the political beliefs of these individual defendants that they chose to target. Then you look at the judges. The judges all thought of themselves as personal victims of January 6th. They said things to that effect. Many of them lied on the bench, lied about what took place, and made up facts that weren't even true. So these were judges who had no business presiding over these cases. They could not be impartial. And the law is that not only they be impartial, but that they appear impartial. And they couldn't even meet that standard.
See, again,
either.
They weren't even the U.S. attorneys in my case stated things to the judge that were inherently wrong. And it was like the judge didn't even bother to consider that or even offer some remedial punishment for it. And I still have to deal with these lies in press pieces and published pieces today. Again, and now the 1776 Law Center that represents me goes on the offense. We've gotten multiple retractions. We've gotten multiple corrections of the record because of this as well. I mean, people still print the falsity that I never completed my community service, a complete falsity. The U.S. attorneys were allowed to admit that into the courtroom. And they didn't even get struck from the record, even though it's completely inaccurate. And we have the documents to prove it. And so this is the stuff I'm talking about. But again, just so quickly then, what is the best path? Is it lawsuits for restitution, or is it Trump saying civil rights were violated? It seems like that's what you're thinking, is it should just come from the White House, get rid of the litigation process potential.
It needs to be a triple approach. So one, get rid of anybody that's facing ongoing criminal exposure from this political insanity. There needs to be pardons and commutations across the board. And I would expand that to include anybody who's been the victim of lawfare in the Biden administration, even if it's, you know, Ross Ulbricht, even if it's, someone's not January 6th defendant, if it's Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus, if it's Julian Assange, if it's Edward Snowden, include as many, John Kirikou. There's a bunch of whistleblowers that have been targeted by this. So include, pardon all January 6th defendants because the problem is the lawfare itself. Pardon and commute the sentences of Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro and Owen Schroyer and everybody else, including Julian Assange and Ed Snowden and the whistleblowers. That's stage one. Part two, look at writing checks to people who were harmed. For example, get involved in the Ashley Babbitt case. Trump can take over that defense and say, you know what? She was wrongfully killed, and there needs to be consequence to the person who killed her, and there needs to be compensation to her. He can do this in all those cases. Then you open up civil rights investigations into this weaponized lawfare and try to put a stop to it once and for all. The Civil Rights Division is there to protect our constitutional rights. It was intended primarily to deal with rogue law enforcement, rogue judges after the Civil War. So it's perfectly suited and designed for this. And then look at the legislative and institutional reform. And we need all of it so that we can restore confidence and
that's
actually
where
restore
Cash
the
Patel,
republic.
I think, comes into play here.
Oh, absolutely. Cash Patel, Pam can deliver, right? I mean, she's been a lobbyist the last 4 years. I was not a huge fan of her appointment. I preferred Matt Gaetz at DOJ to Pam Bondi. But she can prove me wrong.
Well, let's see. I think, you know, Pam Bondi's position as attorney general is going to be one of the more speculated upon positions because there's a lot on her plate, a lot of fair skepticism. And just from the last Trump administration, it's a role that has a very short shelf life as well. Let's see if she can even make it, not just through the confirmation process, but even, you know, through the administration. All right. I want to jump to one more thing here before we let you go. Crazy developments in the Diddy case. Sean Diddy Combs' team insists freak off videos prove his innocence. No violence, coercion, threats, or manipulation. So now their defense here is, I guess, since the tapes are, you know, all coming out in the courtroom of, you know, whatever it is they're doing to each other in baby oil. They're saying this proves his innocence. This case gets crazy. What do you make of this move?
Yeah, who knows? It'll be interesting to watch. It's almost like they didn't know what was on the tapes until they themselves reviewed them, and they now see the tapes as exculpatory. that the tapes won't disclose any information. Now, the other thing is that also might be an implicit threat to other people out there. So, you know, he's going to have to be careful. If he's saying, look, I'm going to publicize all these tapes as part of my defense, that's going to be my theory. Clearly, it would negatively impact a whole lot of high-ranking celebrities, what's on those tapes. So the other thing is, you know, they seem to be suggesting that nobody's underage on those tapes. That's clearly also in dispute and controversy as well. I take it as almost an implicit threat that if they go forward with the prosecution, everybody's going to get outed. He's going to expose everybody. That's a risky thing to do when you're sitting in the jail cell that Epstein occupied.
Yeah, and just when you think about what is being, let's say aside from the accusations of the underage people involved, this is highly embarrassing, right? I mean, so as a public figure who's, you know, you're supposed to be a bad boy, you know, Bad Boy Records, and you're doing freak-offs and baby oil and, you know, so it's kind of like you said, they're having to make these measurements right now of, okay, what are we willing to sacrifice? And then what, I mean, reputationally, I guess he supposes his legal team is probably telling him, look, your reputation is already destroyed. So don't even bother trying to defend that at this point. Try to defend yourself from being in prison the rest of your life and, you know, these charges.
Yeah. And you do have to wonder, you know, who does he have dirt on? And how does he handle that? And what could happen to him for threatening it? I mean, that's how I take it. I think he threatened the wrong people initially, and that's why they put him under the radar. But that's the other thing that Trump can do. As soon as Trump gets in, there's all the pardons, all the commutations he should start issuing right away. There's the executive orders he should issue right away. But what I'm in favor of him doing is, as soon as possible, start declassifying. Declassify the Russiagate files, declassify the Kennedy assassination files, declassify the Martin Luther King assassination file, declassify the Malcolm X assassination file, but also disclose the Epstein list and disclose the Diddy list. Get that out early and because that will dominate the conversation anyway. And who is on those lists?
Yeah.
Because
and, you know, think about
like
the strategy. Think about this strategy, too. If he does that in his first week, let's say, because you know the press and the media is going to be all over him, the Democrats are going to be—I mean, they're drooling, their fangs have drool on them right now, waiting to get at Trump as soon as he gets in. Just he can just kind of throw his hands up and say, you know what, I'm too busy. Just here, you guys have it, you deal with it, and then we're sitting here going through all of this while they're trying to attack Trump. It'll mute all their attacks on Trump, and then it'll give us the narrative to look into all of this craziness. So I think that's good advice. All right, Robert Barnes, appreciate your time at Barnes_Law on X, a great follow. And always be sure to check out 1776lawcenter.com and support them for all the great work they've done fighting for people's civil rights and fighting for my legal defense as well. Greatly appreciative of that. Robert Barnes, thank you for your time. God bless. Godspeed.
Glad to be here.
All right, we are now entering hour number three of the InfoWars War Room. We got another guest coming up, other breaking news. Don't go anywhere.
For listeners and viewers that have gone to the AlexJonesStore.com and gotten Ultimate CMOS, which is the ultimate superfood, chock full of organic iodine and all these key vitamins and minerals, and the way God has the Irish CMOS grow, the way it all fuses together, just has incredible effects. It's right up there with hemp for just being a over-the-top superfood. I've been on it for now 4 or 5 months, and the clarity, the focus, my skin, my energy, the weight loss is insane. And so, Ultimate CMOS is available at theAlexShowStore.com. And if you love that product, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to want two of the new gummy products that are in. Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Iron and Vitamin C. Both of these powerful gummy products are available right now with a big bottle jammed right to the top with these babies. Both of these amazing formulas are now available discounted at theAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for keeping us on the air. A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger of one of the top, highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
Infowars.com/show.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, we got another clip, interesting clip from the Bondi hearing today. I'm going to play that for you here in a moment, and then we're going to go out to California, somebody who lives right on the edge of the Palisades, to give us an update on everything that's going on there. Ladies and gentlemen, though, at thealexjonesstore.com, we have the Trump battle for the Republic silver coin, and this is the latest in the series of collectible coins that we offer at thealexjonesstore.com. The Trump battle for the Republic 2024 silver coin is a bold declaration of defiance and patriotism, honoring Donald J. Trump's unwavering fight to reclaim the Republic. Crafted from 1 troy ounce of 0.999 fine silver, this coin features Trump's iconic signature and the historic January 20th, 2025 date, marking his triumphant return as the 47th president. The reverse side captures the fiery spirit of the 2024 battle, showcasing Trump's raised fist and rallying cry, fight, fight, fight. And so you can get yours at thealexjonesstore.com, but make sure to do it because supplies are limited and it will sell out. And, of course, the case for this collective silver coin is included with your order right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Limited edition. Don't wait. It will sell out. So this interesting moment just happened at the Pam Bondi hearing. QAnon makes a reference. Go ahead.
I guess as I reflect on what you've said today, a couple things surprised me. I did not expect you to be as outspoken as you are about Kash Patel. He's been characterized as a professional career defense attorney and a career prosecutor. That's a pretty amazing achievement in his life. But he also has said and done some things which are impossible to understand and justify. For example, are you familiar with something called the QAnon conspiracy?
I've heard of it, but I do not know what it is, but I've heard of it many times, Senator.
So let me tell you what I've learned about it. Its core belief is that a cabal of satanic, cannibalistic child molesters are embedded within our government and are conspiring against President-elect Trump.
Yeah, keep talking.
They asked Mr. Patel about it, and he said, quote, "I agree with a lot that the movement says," end of quote. Does that sound like a good preparation to run the FBI?
Senator, I don't know anything about... I had heard of QAnon, but I've never heard that definition attached to it at all. You're going to have to ask Mr. Patel about those statements.
We will. And I'll tell you, until we get answers to those questions, I don't know many people on this side of the table will give him an unequivocal endorsement. This and his enemies list, what he calls his government gangsters. This is what you expect of Stasi. This is what you expect of secret police. It is not what you expect of justice in America, as you've even described it at the table today. So I would say this unequivocal support of Mr. Patel should at least have some reservation until he explains some of these outrageous positions he has taken.
I look forward to hearing his testimony about QAnon in front of this committee.
You will.
Me too. Boy, do I. That's going to be fun. You know, if there's no group of satanic pedophiles that run Washington, D.C., then what are they so afraid of? You know? If it's such an outlandish, outrageous, and unpopular, unhinged claim, then what are they so afraid of? If it's so ludicrous, then that would harm his reputation. And you wouldn't be so upset about it. So this is going to be fantastic. They don't have a date set for the Cash Patel hearing yet. But it's going to be probably hours of QAnon conspiracies. Oh my gosh. Whether you think Q is real or not, they're going to be up there talking about satanic pedophiles running Washington, D.C. And they will never be able to erase that record. I almost like don't even want to talk about it. I'm so excited of them just putting that on the record. Please do. Please. I'm begging you, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now. And we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C Plus. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
To the establishment's lies. Welcome to the War Room. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're working on getting our guests connected here, so let's do this first. James O'Keefe, latest investigation, another man who claims to be a spy, top Pentagon official, makes some incredible admissions about the deep state trying to sabotage Donald Trump here in clip one.
And I work at this top consulting firm, and my client is the Pentagon. So I'm embedded in the Pentagon. I work in the Joint Staff, which is the top military command. Once you lost, I went into the intelligence community, and I became an FBI special agent. So I became a spy hunter. So I was a counterintelligence agent. Special agent at the FBI.
What's your, like, overall assessment of Trump?
He's a sociopathic narcissist. He's only interested in advancing his name, his wealth, and his fame.
Is there anything you can do to, like, protect American people from stuff that he might try to do?
I'm in conversation with a couple of retired generals. To try to explore what we can do.
So we're the...
That's what you call the deep state, ladies and gentlemen.
They're like one, two, or three now, star generals and admirals.
There is a follow-up here. Again, this is from O'Keefe Media Group. If you want to see the full video with James O'Keefe. But that's what you call the deep state. He worked with the Department of Defense, claims to be a spy, special agent FBI, assistant to Hillary Clinton, says he's working with retired generals to sabotage Trump. So James O'Keefe actually caught up with them in person here in clip two.
Jamie, you're a spy hunter, you say. Well, I'm a spy hunter, too, but I'm evidently a better spy hunter than you.
We have no permission to use it.
Actually, we do. It's called the First Amendment. Why would you lie to me?
I'm not lying to you, and I'm not...
Do you lie every day at work?
No, I'm not lying.
Then why did you say that you... are working with retired generals.
What are you talking about?
You were a special agent with the FBI. You worked for Hillary Clinton. You worked for the State Department. You talk about hunting spies. What if my undercover person was a Russian spy?
Go away, you liar. You're a known fraudster. You have a poor reputation. No one believes you. Go away.
What the fuck out of here. Okay, so this is the former FBI special agent. Is that right?
You're an asshole.
You're an asshole. Go away.
Go away.
There's no reason to get upset, sir.
Yeah, there is a reason. Go away. Leave me alone. Like bothering people in public.
No, I'm reporting on what you're saying. Because there's a First Amendment in this country, and I recognize you government people don't like...
Behind the First Amendment to get away with your freaking fraud and friends.
Well, that fraud is a very serious accusation. That's a form of psychological projection. There you have the government official, quite angry. Jamie, you work in national security.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I'm embedded in the Pentagon. I work in the Joint Staff, which is the top military command.
You're a... FBI agent, right? Special agent with the FBI? Special agent with the FBI?
What is this?
And you're currently working as an advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon? What this is...
Leave me alone. What is this?
I'm a journalist, and we're doing a story on people within the administrative state, people that work for the executive branch agencies.
You have no permission to use that.
Actually, we do. It's called the First Amendment.
No. I'm not allowing you.
And we have a right to record on these streets.
I'm not interested in talking to you.
Well, I'm interested. You're already talking to us.
No,
you've already spoken to us quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think it's ethical as a advisor to the Pentagon officials, do you think it's ethical for you to be doing all this political stuff, fundraising?
Please leave me alone.
I'm a taxpayer, sir. I have a right to know about what you guys do. And
oh my God, I'm not fundraising for anybody.
So the phone call with the retired generals will probably be about raising money.
What's the name of the organization that you work with the retired generals?
I'm not fundraising for anyone.
I know you guys would fundraise. What were you going to do with the money that you guys get?
To hire staff.
Then why did you say that you are working with retired generals?
What are you talking about?
I'm quoting you.
You're not quoting me.
I'm in conversation with a couple of retired generals to try to explore what we can do.
I have you on videotape.
What videotape?
You're not a spy? You're not trying to, like, collect information from me?
I wish I was. That'd be cool.
A secret recording featuring you talking about working with retired generals. Why would you lie to me?
I'm not lying to you, and I'm not...
Do you lie every day at work?
No.
Ah.
I'm not lying.
Okay.
You don't have permission to use this information. I'm not lying. I'm not raising...
What are you going to do? Raid me?
What?
Raid me?
Leave me alone. Please.
I will leave you alone, but I want you to answer our questions. I want you to answer these questions.
Goodbye.
Do you think it's ethical?
No.
Do you think it's ethical? Hi. How you doing? Sir, do you think it's ethical for you to be doing this political stuff while a senior advisor within the Pentagon?
I just want to know why you hired a woman to take me out on a date to...
Oh, he's onto it now.
Basically accost me and trick me into these lies that you're asking
about. Trick him into the
lies. Are you a four star?
Four star? No, I'm not a four star.
Oh, you're not?
No. Is that what you do? You like to stage and like run all these pranks on people?
We like to get information for the public's right to know.
Yeah, I haven't done anything wrong, and what you're asking me, I haven't done.
The alleged comments by Menina do not reflect the positions of the chairman or the joint staff.
So let's just analyze this real quick. And, we're working on getting the guests connected, and if we have these problems, guys, we'll just have to move on. But so two things can be possible here. You can choose what you want to believe, but he says that, none of it's true. So, okay, so you're just lying on a date is what he's going to try to argue here. He's just lying on a date. But what does that say about the type of person that works in Washington, D.C. that's anti-Trump? They're liars. They're all frauds. They're all liars. That's the point. So it's either this is the type of character inside of Washington, D.C. trying to sabotage Donald Trump, just lying phonies. Or if you take the things they say at face value, then there's some serious swamp activity to try to sabotage Donald Trump then, isn't it? And some serious stuff to sabotage the country and the people that vote. And they want all the power in D.C. So those are your two options here. Great work by the O'Keefe Media Group yet again. All right, so the guest is ready, guys. All right. We had some issues with the connection, but we are connected now. Adam King is my guest. He lives just on the edge of the Palisades area. I wanted to have him on here to give us an update on the fire situation and what he sees, what he hears, what he thinks is going on. So Adam joins me now. All right. Well, lay into it. You're just outside of the Palisades there. What is going on? What are people thinking? What are they saying as the estimates of damage now are $250 billion?
Well, thankfully, I'm outside of the county of Los Angeles. I booked it, and I went north to Ventura County, actually. And the fire departments work very differently. They want to promote camaraderie amongst the fire departments. But the truth is that other fire departments are really helping Los Angeles recover from this horrible situation. When the fires broke out near me, the Kenneth Fire was by where I live, and that really threatened me, took the power out for several days. And I saw it on the hill. It was kind of surreal, Owen, to tell you the truth. When I was looking at it, already watching Pacific Palisades burn to the ground, watching the fire on the hills behind my house, saying to myself, holy, this could be it. So the emergency, you know, I got chickens and I got animals and stuff. So I had to, like, make sure I had crates for all of them and, you know, in case I had to pull an emergency evac. But I was committed to staying. And thankfully, the winds were coming north to south and we're north of the fire. So, like, south of the fire is really, like, the rest of Los Angeles. And it's just in this, like, gigantic plume of, like, extremely toxic smoke and microparticles of asbestos and other things, and you know, it's a disaster, man.
Well, isn't that a kind of a bit of irony too? They'll make you wear a mask that can't even stop a virus to stop the virus, but it's like, if you were going to advise wearing a mask, now would be the time.
They are advising people to wear masks, and I thought that it was you know, like in a sense I was thinking to myself, the N95 mask was invented for construction sites. So of course it's good to wear an N95 mask if you live near the Palisades. But I went to the Palisades yesterday, and they don't let you in. I posted some videos to my ex about it. The military is, like, ready to fight with people. Like, they're ready to be, like, as hostile as could be.
Is that the National Guard?
National Guard, yeah. They're, like, but they're all good. They're protecting. There's just so many assets. I mean, if you think about it, Owen, like, you said that the price of the damage was estimated, let's say, at $250 billion, which they're saying it could be upwards. Think of how many priceless pieces of art were there. The craziest thing was how, right when the fire broke out, everybody rushed. The first inclination was protect the Getty, because the Getty museums are, like, housing, you know, trillion-dollar art collection, perhaps. I don't know what's up in there, but a lot of what their public collection is would be, you know, a tragedy to humanity if it was lost. So,
I haven't heard about that, so I'm assuming they were able to protect it.
So this is my footage. I was, like, really tripped out that there was no smoke on the Palisades. And the Palisades fire right now, they say, is 23,000 acres that is still burning. And in later videos, I went around and just tried to figure out why we can't see smoke. And then I ended up meeting the Ventura County fire chief, the Italian, Kenneth Rogers, and I actually asked him, and he had a very sophisticated answer as to why you don't see the smoke when there's such a big fire burning. But, you know, like, the fact that Ventura County is assisting the remediation effort, I believe that, like, the remediation efforts are, like, sincere. I live in a very, very Republican, good area, and, like, it seems like when it came to us, like, our like, strong men went out and stopped the fires right away, you know, and my house was saved. But in, like, other places where there's, like, you know, some menagerie of, you know, identity politics in the hiring processes of these massively important positions, you know, the water reserves were left unfilled, and now they're always playing catch up, and, like, massive amounts of property was destroyed. It's just insane, Owen. It's like Hiroshima, Nagasaki level destruction for the Palestinians.
No, it's actually shocking images. I mean, I can only imagine what it was like for you when you saw that. There was one. I mean, I never saw anything the scale of that.
Not letting anyone except for media, like ultra, like.
So
like,
I want to get to that. That's where I want to go here next. So is there any? What is the current status as far as evacuation? Is anybody in that area? Is anybody let into that area? There was one story about a family that was basically scoffing at the law and not leaving. So is it just like nobody can get access? Is it just like totally cleared out from any human activity, or what's the story?
Well, the truth is Police Chief Jim McDonald is actually a very close friend of mine, and he's like really locked down the streets tremendously. And, I've been in communication with him several times throughout the disaster, and he's done an amazing job. Literally probably the only sane face on the city of Los Angeles. Not really. There's Senator Ben Allen. He did really well. You know, there was a couple really amazing people who stepped up and just like really saved the day. You know, when other people in other departments of government decided to drop the ball, you know, with their identity politics. By the way, you know, the woman is paid $750,000 a year for her job. I mean, like.
Oh, yeah. She's rich. She's rich.
Super rich. And she's been sitting on that income passively for a long time. And I'll tell you, Owen, the Pacific Palisades are one of the most liberal places ever. Right. And we know liberals because they attack us the way they do, like with such virulent hatred. Like I've seen you get spit on before. Like it's crazy. Like the imagine all that ferociousness that's bottled up, but directed at liberal Democrat DEI people realizing that the failure of that type of promotion costs, you know, one of the great landmarks of the city. Some of those properties, even the newer ones, was just like so insane.
Well, the famous entire Malibu beachfront is gone. I mean, some of the most famous architecture beachfront homes in Malibu, completely gone, annihilated.
I heard Duke's survived. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I know Moon Shadows was taken out. I mean, these are like classic, iconic spots. Rosenthal Wines was taken out. I mean, like they were all taken, all the best spots right on the water. They were all taken out. And, it's a tragedy. I mean, I grew up here. You know what I'm saying, Owen? So like I spent my babyhood at those beaches. I have like the fondest memories of these locations. It's an absolute tragedy. And like I sent in a clip for you guys of like this water system in Japan. And
the drones?
It's not a drone system. It's there's a clip that I sent. It's on that.
Oh, the
one,
ones
right?
That come out of the ground here?
Something like this is so simple to make. It's like you could practically get it like pre-made at Home Depot. You know, like you could make this. And like they just like if they had this in the Palisades, there would still be the Palisades.
Yeah, but you know, in Japan, though, they don't really do diversity, equity and inclusion. They don't do identity politics. And so they can actually focus on stuff like this.
You know, this is like such a cost saving solution to, you know, that could literally be put on the corners of street corners and up throughout the streets in L.A. Like, I don't know. It pains my heart, Owen, because like I've spent a lot of time in the Palisades and also more Malibu and also the backwoods, too. Like, to be honest with you, I'm an avid hiker. And I've gone through all those, and I wanted to talk to you about this actually, because this is kind of juicy stuff. Like all the trails got burned up, but back in the trails, there's like all these like stones. Now that there's like no vegetation, there's just like these gigantic stones sticking out everywhere, and like a flat barren land, and like. I know you've done a couple episodes. There was one on December 26th you did. I don't quite remember the guest, but it was kind of like ancient apocalypse style.
Yeah, that would have been Jimmy Corsetti. Yeah.
Jimmy Corsetti. That episode had me on the edge of my seat. And
For you, I'm going to bring Jimmy on again then. How about that?
Dude, that was such a great episode. But also, if Jimmy would look at those stones, that, like, KTLA publishes it live nonstop, and so it's in their video files. They're, like, showing aerial views of the trails that have been destroyed and the vast nature. But they don't understand. They're showing, like, these stones, and some of them, looking at them from the helicopter, I'm like, is that a megalithic pillar? What am I looking at right there?
Oh, well, I did not see this one coming.
And then, like, the real kicker is, why was everybody so concerned about the Getty? And maybe there's something up to, like, those Getty tunnels that everybody's talking about, you know?
Yeah, there were a lot of tunnel talks with some of the celebrities' houses. I think the Playboy Mansion went up in flames, too. There were a lot of tunnel conspiracies going around.
Supposedly Diddy had a house in the Palisades, and that burnt up, too.
Yeah.
You know? But the truth is, Owen, is fire is a real thing in L.A. We have multiple fires every single year. And that's why there's no excuse for the water reserves not being filled
up. And you're on the ocean. And look, I see the response, well, the ocean is salt water and it can't be used because it does damage to this, that, and the other thing. Well, okay, hold on a second. I think using salt water to put out a fire probably would be better than the entire community burning to the ground. But, yeah, okay, maybe you would disagree. We're going to sit here and act like we don't have technology to purify salt water and then use it for any reason at all. You could absolutely have a system like they have in Japan that you pulled up. And by the way, it could be operated remotely so that you can just do it remotely in response to anything that happens. But okay, we've kind of covered that. Let me ask you this though, because I've seen a couple of fires in Austin, obviously nothing like this, but I've seen fires that are, you know, pretty crazy when you see woods burning, huge plumes of smoke. And in Austin, it's from the homeless people that live in the woods and start fires and don't put them out, or gust of wind, something blows and starts a brush fire. Is it the same situation in Los Angeles, and that's why all these trails burn, because the homeless out there have a fire, and then the next thing you know, boom, it's a large ordeal?
Well, I'll tell you, there's like a ton of arson going on, and like the investigation into who actually is paying those, they're all illegal immigrants. You know, the ones that they arrested, it's so funny. Actually, like, I knew somebody whose stepfather made one of those famous citizen arrests. And it was just a personal connection to, like, seeing it, where this guy didn't even speak English. And he was, like, they stopped him from adding on to the Kenneth Fire, which was in my area. And at that Ventura County line between L.A. County and Ventura County, things are just run differently. You know, and it's like clearly obvious when there's a fire. And Ventura County has virtually very little loss compared to Los Angeles County. And the Kenneth Fire was out of control, bigger than the Palisades Fire. You know, it threatened the entire San Fernando Valley. That was insane. And they had evacuations throughout the whole valley. That thing got locked up quick. Another thing that's really crazy is you don't really see the aerial planes that much anymore flying overhead dumping water. And so I don't know if they're not letting anybody in, but they're saying that the fire is 19% contained. I don't know if that's true, because you don't see smoke. You can only rely on what they tell you. And you don't see the airplanes dumping in the water over the area, or even flying in, because I live in the area. I saw them going through dumping water before. And then in my videos in the Palisades, I was sitting there, and I did a circumference of the whole fire zone, and I didn't see one airplane. And that's like a 23-mile stretch of land or something like that.
We'll have to see what happens when this thing is finally put out.
Maybe the fire's out and they're just like telling people that it's panic, you know, and going on. But like when I spoke to the fire chief battalion, Kenneth Rogers of Ventura County, he told me that basically there's like embers that they're letting, like whatever is burning, they're letting it burn. It's controlled. And so it doesn't release that much plume, like when, you know, a whole house is burning or something like that.
Well, I could see that if it's just kind of the leftover embers of a fire, that could potentially be true. But I would like you to, you know, follow up with me on anything else that you hear, because I know you're well connected in that community and send me the video of the pillars. Maybe I can get Corsetti to comment on that too.
And I would love to see Jimmy Corsetti's take on like what he sees in the nature and stuff like that. You know, like from these videos, these burnt out videos of. Because I'm telling you, there was a previous civilization here. Maybe okay. John
Send me those videos. I'll make that happen. All right, Adam King at the Adam King Show on X. Thank you for your time, brother. We'll be in touch. And just make sure to send me that video.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now. And we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Turmeric is back in stock. Now, this concoction of turmeric is amazing and extremely bioavailable because it's loaded with ginger root and black pepper extract. Now, you might remember Brain Force Plus or Brain Force Ultra. We loaded that capsule with black pepper extract to ensure that it was as bioavailable as possible, and we used the same exact approach with Ultimate Turmeric. Now, if you're somebody who loves bodies, wants to fight for your joint health, and fight against inflammation, then Ultimate Turmeric gummies are an amazing solution for you. Not only are they delicious, but they benefit your health. Now, I'm somebody who struggles with inflammation. After I spent some time at Eagle Pass, I could hardly walk because my ankle was so swollen from walking around the border and catching what the New World Order was sponsoring in terms of the invasion of our country by these migrants. Countless millions of migrants. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com and experience the benefits of Ultimate Turmeric right now. Not only because it's amazing for your health and inflammation and your joints, but because by doing so, you're keeping InfoWars on the air.
Infowars.com/show.
In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
Final segment here of the InfoWars War Room. Telling you, two hot items right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Both these items are hot. Both these items are going to sell out. That's the brand new knife. I have mine nestled safely. Makes me feel comfortable here to have this next to my desk. But the Liberator limited edition knife, this thing is going to sell out. Absolutely, this thing is going to sell out. Very hot, very popular. And then, of course, the Donald Trump battle silver coin. This bad boy is going to be selling out quick as well. So I'd get my hands on those two items if you're interested before they sell out at thealexjonesstore.com. But these things are hot, and they will no doubt sell out. A couple pieces of InfoWars lore for you there at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we still got a bunch of stories on my desk. I got a bunch of video clips as well. Let's do a bit of a news blitz here. Trump encourages Vivek Ramaswamy to seek Ohio Senate seat. So I would say that's the seat left vacant by J.D. Vance. Of course, Ramaswamy also the co-leader of the Department of Government Efficiency. I would say with that, it's probably almost a certainty Vivek is going to be your next senator from Ohio. He may reject that idea, but I would say with Trump now putting his weight behind it, I think that that could become almost a certainty at this point. Speaking of Trump news, Coca-Cola CEO presents Donald Trump commemorative inauguration-themed Diet Coke bottle. The CEO of Coca-Cola company, James Quincy, delivered it personally to Mar-a-Lago for Donald Trump. And this thing will probably be in a historical archive somewhere in Washington, D.C. for hundreds of years. The Donald Trump, or maybe Mar-a-Lago, maybe Trump keeps it at Mar-a-Lago. The Donald Trump inaugural Diet Coke glass bottle. There it is. Trump probably was all Trump could do not to bust it open and drink it. He's such a Diet Coke fiend. But no, that thing will be a piece of a U.S. history collector's item for years to come. It will be in a museum if it doesn't just stay in Mar-a-Lago. But, you know, I'm curious. I haven't heard any plans of that, but would Diet Coke do an inaugural bottle for public consumption? I bet it would sell like hotcakes. I would 100% get one. I would definitely get one. You think I've got actually some limited edition bottles. I've got the two Cardinals World Series beer bottles. I've got a St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup beer bottle, those limited editions. I always like getting those things. I got a couple other ones too because I just like collecting them. But I would get an inaugural Diet Coke bottle for a collector's item. But I don't think they have any plans for that. Okay. It appears Jill Biden and Nancy Pelosi, they're not getting along too well. I think this probably has something to do with the coup that she helped run against Joe Biden. Jill Biden says Nancy Pelosi relationship is on her mind. Jill Biden reveals bitter feelings towards Nancy Pelosi, blasts her on the way out. Yeah, she said it was disappointing what they did to Joe Biden. We were friends for 50 years. It was disappointing, she said. Friends for 50 years. Is that true? Said it was disrespectful, huh? Wow. Well, that's what you get when you run a coup on Joe Biden. By the way, speaking of Joe Biden, he will be making his farewell address this evening. This evening, Joe Biden will deliver his farewell address, and Karine Jean-Pierre did her farewell press conference today as well. So finally, the door is starting to close on this disastrous administration, likely the worst in America, in the history of America. So at tonight, Biden will deliver from the Oval Office his farewell address. You know, I'm pretty sure the last time they did a live from the Oval address from the Oval Office, it was actually a canned video response. Do you guys recall that? We'll see if they do that again. And they kind of have to because, you know, Biden can barely talk these days. But that's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern from the Oval Office, Biden's farewell address tonight. Oh, man. Get these people out of here. Get them out. Meanwhile, the Biden administration says this. This is Jake Sullivan. What did he mean by this? I think I understood what he mean, but here, but people are curious what he meant when he said this in clip 14.
One last word, which is, this is, I hope this is my last time at this podium, at least for a little while. I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean, the only thing that would bring me back is an unexpected event in the next few days, which, as you all know, is totally possible given everything you've seen over the course of the past years. But if it is, in fact, my last time before you, I just want to say thank you for what you guys do
so
every day.
Okay, so now, obviously, people are saying, oh, is he showing their hand? Do they have something planned for the next couple days before Trump gets into office? I don't really read it that way. What's actually, but that's where people are responding to this video with. What's amazing to me about this video is he basically admits that the 4 years under Joe Biden were complete chaos. Did you catch that? So I don't really take away that they're going to do something before Trump gets into office. I wouldn't doubt that either. But you know, play again. He admits it. He says, I wouldn't be surprised if something happens because it's been chaos for years. He just admitted it's been chaos during the Biden years. I mean, wow. Play it again.
One last word, which is, I hope this is my last time at this podium, at least for a little while. I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean, the only thing that would bring me back is an unexpected event in the next few days, which, as you all know, is totally possible given everything you've seen over the course of the past years.
So there you go.
But if it is,
wow.
In fact, my
and
last
what's
time.
Been who's been in charge in the course of the past years? That's right, the Biden administration. So that's what I took away from that. Not that they're going to be planning, or that's an admission that they're planning something before Trump takes office. That's them admitting it's been total chaos when Biden's president. You never know what could blow up next when Joe Biden is president. So that was my takeaway from that. More so than people thinking he just admitted that they have something planned. Meanwhile, in Texas, there's a bunch of news coming out in Texas. The swamp won the speaker's race in Texas, and you had Republicans voting with Democrats. It was a total swamp move, and the next Texas speaker is just as bad as the last. That's just a whole separate story. But here, the University of Texas A&M, they had a conference that was limiting attendees by race. And if you were not a black or Hispanic individual, so I don't know, do they have like a little color gradient that they determine if you're black or brown enough? But Asians and white people need not apply. Well, this is obviously illegal. Think about that. They were going to have a conference for all non-whites. Well, this is clearly illegal. Greg Abbott issues warning to Texas A&M president over DEI conference. Abbott threatens Texas A&M president's job over claim that university broke the DEI ban. Yeah, that's your determining factor if you can get in the conference or not. They got a little color gradient there. But they shut it down. They shut it down. So you wanted to go to the Texas A&M conference there. They put their little color gradient thing there, and they decided, are you the right skin color? Well, clearly illegal, and it got shut down. But that is just crazy. And I know we're all sick of hearing it, but just let's say the phrase. You can only imagine if it was stopping black people from going in. Okay, we said the thing. We said the thing, so let's just move on now. Police investigate several overnight burglaries in Oakland. Well, let's actually go to Oakland here. So the Safeway here is closing. The Safeway in Oakland, very popular station, is closing, and it's part of this organized retail theft crime spree thanks to the Democrat laws where they basically decriminalized theft. They changed it in some areas, but not all. So Oakland is just a disaster. So one of the popular Safeways is having to close because of all the crime. They can't keep people employed. Their employees risk their lives going in, plus all the theft of their items is causing them to lose money. So the residents decided to stage a protest over Safeway closing. Listen to this, clip 10.
We're not playing. We're demanding. We're not requesting. We're demanding. We're not urging you. We're demanding you. And we want all the new supervisors to understand this can be a beautiful relationship or a sour relationship.
So the shelves of the store are bare. Newly elected Fillmore supervisor Bilal Mahmood says produce and meat are now gone, but prescription services will continue until the store's closure on February 7th.
Now, think about how crazy this is. And again, I just read the story just a couple weeks ago. They had massive theft in that area at gas stations as well, but the Safeway had a big spree of robberies. This was from earlier in the summer. Safeway removed self-checkout kiosks from some Bay Area stores. It's all in Oakland. So the self-checkout just ends up being, you know, steel section. So these residents go out and they complain that the Safeway is shutting down. Well, what do you want Safeway to do? Just operate at a loss? You want the Safeway employees to just risk their lives to go in there every night? Imagine instead of protesting that the Safeway is closing for obvious reasons, imagine if instead you went out there and protested all the people stealing from the Safeway every night, all the criminals going in there and putting the employees' lives at risk. Imagine if you did that. If you would have protested that or stopped that from happening, then you wouldn't be dealing with this. But no, they're going to blame Safeway. It's ridiculous. Let's go to Denver real quick. Denver Mayor Mike Johnson has a press conference, and, well, let's just say people are fed up with Democrat leadership all across the country. Clip 20.
Yeah, I saw you at the parade, you power mayor. And this is your fault! Crime-loving Democrats are burning this city down!
I'm sorry, Clint. Can you repeat the question?
I love how the police chief there is letting him say his piece right to the mayor, too. You wonder if that wasn't intentional. I don't know. He quit talking, and he made sure that the protester there telling the mayor to F off was heard. So I wonder if that was intentional. But this is the type of stuff we're talking about. This is a video out of Minnesota, guys. Just B-roll for me, 15. I guess you can play the audio, too, the guy confronting these people. I mean, how do we get to this point?
Hey, what are you guys doing?
These two individuals go into a Home Depot, and they're just, I don't know what it is, what, they're trying to steal some power tools here.
What are you guys doing?
The Home Depot has these precautionary measures, so they're like, you know, belted to the shelves because people try to go in there and steal this stuff. That's unfortunately the state of society. You have to belt products to the store shelves because people try to steal them. So these guys just go in there, faces uncovered, just right in front of everybody to see, and they're just trying to rip these power tools off the safety belts so that they can just engage in mass retail theft. It's crazy. It's like, how did we get here?
Not very effective.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if, you know, my crew member here is, well, he said, why didn't they just go grab some wire cutters in the hardware store that are probably in the next aisle? I don't know if he's, you know, proud of his, let's say, criminal expertise in this matter, maybe.
You're pretty slow, dude.
But it's just like, that's how bold they don't even care. They're out there with their faces showing. In the middle of the workday. Was that a security guard he just walked by? Wait, did you see that at the end there? I can't tell. It might just be. It looks like. Is that a security guard? So, again, this is the climate of theft that the Democrats have harvested. And then the people in the communities that frequent these stores go and complain after they shut down. Well, tell your fellow citizens to stop stealing. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, we're going to go into Home Depot and just rip a bunch of power tools and nobody's going to stop us and we're going to have our faces showing. That's how emboldened we are. Wild stuff. Wild stuff. But, oh, they'll go after Elon Musk. I don't pass the test, guys. I'm not allowed in. That's great. SEC sues Elon Musk, alleges failure to properly disclose Twitter ownership. So just more lawsuits. More lawsuits against more government going after Elon Musk. And again, wisely, these people are cozying up to the incoming president of the United States. But yeah, the Biden administration has been going hard after Musk since he's decided to go on a political war front against the Democrat Party. So yet another case of that happening. By the way, there's some developments in the TikTok case that's supposed to be sold later this week. There's a couple rumors of people trying to put up bids. Musk's name has been put in that list as well, though nobody has confirmed those claims. Others are claiming that they might get involved. Trump is thinking about filing an executive order to stop it. So the drama with the TikTok situation continues there. Here's a crazy one, though, as we're talking about lawfare. Patriot Front ordered to pay $2.7 million to Boston musician for attack. Now, I want you to watch this video. Did you believe this warrants $2.7 million for injuries? In the 27-page decision, the federal judge Indira Talwani awarded $25,000 for physical injuries, $500,000 for psychological injuries and distress. Psychological. You tell me, watching this video of this individual who's really confronting the Patriot Front, whatever you think about them. But here, you be the judge. $2.7 million for this interaction, clip 18.
Don't fucking talk to me like that, you fucking racist.
So he's the one standing in the way. They say go around him. He's the one insulting them. And then things are about to get physical. But he knows exactly what he's doing. And did we pull it down because of all the cussing, guys? That's fine. So, okay, now they're shoving him with their shields just to try to get him out of the way. But then now he comes back and he's trying to grab their shields. He's come back. He's trying to shove them. He's ripping their shields, trying to throw them down. And so now it's mutual combat. $2.7 million. That is crazy. Yeah. Oh, this is all about race. 100% this is about race. If he wasn't a black man in a crowd of white people, 0% chance you get $2.7 million. Yeah, this is a leftist radical judge awarding reparations from a white group to a black man. Now, again, look, this is no endorsement of the Patriot Front, and the leader has been a little more public lately doing interviews and such, so you can be your own judge of the group. You know, personally, I wouldn't recommend going around in a group of race ideologues and identifiers that wear masks and go around in makeshift shields. But they have a First Amendment right, too. So wouldn't be my advice to do that or join a group like that. But, you know, to each his own. So put your own politics or whatever you think about the groups aside, this is just ludicrous. I mean, they don't help themselves with the optics either. Let's be clear. When you're going around in white masks confronting a black man, yeah, I mean, your optics alone are going to crush you, unfortunately, because you're not getting justice. $2.7 million. You got to give credit to this black guy. I'm sure he was a very successful musician, though. I'm sure. Very successful artist, I bet you. You can tell just by the way he behaves. You got to give it to him. Genius move. Genius move for him to stand in the middle of the sidewalk while they're walking by and confront them and then get into a physical altercation and curse at them and accuse them of being racists. Brilliant move by him. And it's going to apparently pay out $2.7 million for him. So brilliant move for him. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he got more probably than he bargained for. $2.7 million for standing in the middle of a march and yelling at people. And then getting physically combative. Psychological damages, I'm sure. You can tell how psychologically damaged he was when he was doing it and filming and getting in their face. So what do you think about that one? Yeah, he couldn't have just walked away. That wasn't an option. He couldn't have just not cursed at them and called them racist and grabbed their property. No. So that's just completely insane. But there you go. You know, what else? We got, you know, I should probably cover this geopolitical news. Donald Trump posted this. He actually made the announcements before the Biden team did. We have a deal for the hostages in the Middle East. They will be released shortly. Thank you. Well, that of which are alive. President Biden said today, after many months of intensive diplomacy by the United States, along with Egypt and Qatar, Israel and Hamas have reached a ceasefire and hostage deal. And then he's taking credit, saying, my diplomacy never ceased in their efforts to get this done. I will speak more about this soon. Oh, yeah, everybody knows how much it was you. His own State Department admitted it was Trump. There's a reason why this happened after Trump got elected. Even the media knows it was Trump, and that's why this happened after his brief press conference announcing it earlier today. This happened in clip 12.
Who does the history books credit for this, Mr. President, you or Trump?
Is that a joke? Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because everyone knows it was Trump. And even if it wasn't Trump, it certainly wasn't you. But we'll see what this really means, what it represents, if the hostages are even alive, if Israel ever even does a ceasefire. They've never done it before. So we've been down this track. Israel and Hamas reached deal on Gaza ceasefire and hostage release. Some other stories here, though. Israel supplied Iran with centrifuge platforms containing explosives. Top official acknowledges. Gee, why would Israel supply Iran with centrifuge platforms containing explosives? Why would they do that for its nuclear enrichment program that Israel is apparently so against? Why would they do that? Why would they do something like that? Makes you wonder. Puerto Rico's governor warns of Maduro's military threat. Oh, and now Puerto Rico is asking Trump for relief. Isn't that funny? The anti-Trump Puerto Rican leftists are now asking Trump for help now that Maduro has put Puerto Rico in his target list. How about that? Isn't that fun? Some other interesting developments here. John Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy, tweeted this. Wasn't much in the news. This week, left-wingers in Britain are rushing to give away a strategic U.S. military base in the Indian Ocean before President Trump takes office and could stop the deal. President Biden is going along, ignoring the potential of war increases its likelihood. But it looks like Trump's pressure being felt again, because the U.K. has now said they will wait for Donald Trump's approval before signing the Chagos deal. So not quite there yet. All right, we are out of time for today. Thanks to my guests. Thanks to the crew. Thanks to everybody that tuned in. We will take a 21-hour break and do it all again tomorrow. I wonder what Joe Biden is going to say tonight. Or if he can even say it, I guess is the better question in his farewell address. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now. And we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even HOTES has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's a rich and immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Infowars.com/show.